Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geeking Out at the Tower podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, and today I'm joined by...
Kevin.
Keith.
Ali.
Seb.
Wendell.
Awesome. And today we're going to talk about some hockey movies, and more than likely, the Mighty Ducks trilogy, because this past weekend, as of this recording, was the NHL All-Star Game.
I thought we were talking about Pokemon.
No!
I thought we said baseball!
Ugh, who watches that anymore?
Why did I watch Angel in the Outfield?
If they build it, they will come!
We should have watched The Big Green. Really? No one's seen that movie?
I don't think I... You have to tell me what the
soccer movie, Steve Guttenberg, Fat Kid in Goal... 90s soccer movie?
I'd rather watch Little Giants. Seriously.
If you want to watch a soccer movie, you watch Shaolin Soccer.
I was just going to say, yes, Shaolin Soccer is amazing.
Shame on you.
Anyway, as you can tell, it's probably been a really slow news week that we're going all silly and whatnot.
No, it wasn't. Scientists have slowed down the speed of light.
I'm glad you had to, like, insert that right in.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Isn't that old news anyway?
I don't know.
It's not old news. It did it this week. Or last week.
Anyway, so, also for all of you guys who haven't already pirated and seen the interview, it is now officially on Netflix. This is a lot sooner than I thought it would have been on Netflix.
I'm not paying for it.
Well, technically now Sony has made its money and now Netflix is allowed to have it.
So, apparently.
That's how it works.
So, you can go watch it there. It's been out for a few days now. I'm probably going to check it out.
But we've already seen the money shot, so it doesn't really matter.
I haven't seen anything from the interview, honestly.
Or you didn't see the leaked
Nope, nothing at all.
I thought it was pretty funny, though.
Spoilers.
It reminded me of Pineapple Express, which I enjoyed.
I didn't enjoy Pineapple
Express. Yeah, because you're not cool, bro.
No, I'm totally cool, and I don't like that movie at all.
I don't think you're cool.
You don't like James Franco?
No, no.
You want to get James Franco?
No, I didn't.
Why are you no James Franco, Wendell?
You're the one that's...
Why are you dropping your phone on the table?
I like his brother more, actually. His brother's actually way more funnier than James Franco.
Way more funnier. It's just so
way
bad.
More funnier.
Funny looking.
He's making fun of your grammar at that point, if you didn't realize.
What does it matter? What does it matter?
I don't
have a lovely accent like he does.
I know.
I can't sound all Spanish and sexy.
He doesn't sound like
that. I've never had that.
See, that's me making fun
didn't
of him now.
Didn't you just have a conversation of him saying he's whiter than the rest of us?
No, I didn't say that.
No,
Ali
no.
did.
No.
He's also gayer than the rest of us.
I think you should tell everyone why you're wearing blush and lipstick and have earrings in.
Why did you just put out your water on the table?
Because he's that offended. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Such a good podcast.
Sorry, Podcast Nation. We're experiencing some technical difficulties. Be back with you in a second.
Okay, you guys ready to continue this?
I think this is gold, Jerry. It's gold.
So, what do I instigate again? I'm trying to remember now.
I bring much needed one-liners to the show.
Wow, okay.
For yourself, clearly.
Everyone else is enjoying it.
This guy's like, dialing already is. I think you're the one that has all the blush now.
Okay,
like,
can we get back to the show?
Yes.
Yes, we
awesome.
Can.
It's probably a bit warm.
All right, cool. Well, that was an awkward cut. So...
Don't cut it, it's good.
I was trying to segue because I was going to cut most of that laughing
keep
out.
Keep rolling.
In other news, Emma Watson has been cast to be Belle in the Disney's live-action version of Beauty and the Beast.
Boo.
Hey. As long as the Beast is ugly, it'll be okay.
They should have kept with the French theme instead.
I hope it's better than Maleficent. It was a man that changed her and made her evil.
All for love. Okay. Well, after that little, sporadic and insanely kooky news segment, join us in the next segment where we'll be geeking around.
That was the news segment?
Hey, this is Anthony Bowling, voices of such characters as Yuka in Fairy Tail, Ukyo in Samurai 7, and Alciel in The Devil is a Part-Timer, along with many, many more. And right now you are listening to Geeking Out at the Tower podcast.
And we're back, and this is the Geeking Around segment where we talk about things geeky or otherwise going around in the geekosphere. So Wendell, what have you been up to?
So this past Sunday, I got to see the Royal Rumble with a few friends.
Nay!
Like, yes, you can!
So, I don't know. It wasn't the best. It's always not the best, but it was fun. There was a lot of entertaining, some high spots here and there. There's a triple death match with John Cena, no. Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins. And we were making jokes and saying, like, hey, Brock Lesnar, what's your strategy for this match? Going to do the German suplex. And when you're done doing that, what are you going to do? Just continue sticking to that strategy for the whole match. Yeah,
I don't get it.
Brock Lesnar doesn't have that many moves.
He only does one move.
I'm surprised that guy's still wrestling.
He's still wrestling.
It's because McMahon likes big guys that don't do anything, because then they don't get hurt.
Yeah, so then he should just hire you. Are we kidding? Keith will get hurt.
The pre-Royal Rumble matches were pretty fun. There was like a tag team match. There was a New Day versus
Cesaro. It was Biker Gang versus Biker Gang. It didn't matter. All we care about is Diva match. Who did they do the double butt kiss?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't do it. One of the funnier matches was the Miz, Hollywood Miz and Mizdow fighting, who were they fighting? They were fighting the Usos, the tag team champions. And so the gimmick with Mizdow is that he's like the Miz's understudy slash stunt double kind of thing, and that was like hilarious thing going out throughout the whole match where you'd see the Miz getting hurt and he would mimic his hurt movement and stuff like that. So the Royal Rumble happens, and one of the surprise guests was
Rey Mysterio.
No, it was Bubba Ray, actually. So like the Andrew's rolling his eyes. It was Bubba Ray of 3D of the Dudley Boys. And so since he's from Philadelphia and ECW started around Philadelphia, so everyone was pretty happy to see him. And he did two of his staple moves in the match and got promptly kicked out of the ring. Another highlight was Kofi Kingston went in, and usually a thing that Kofi does is that whenever he's about to get thrown out for the first time, he does like some kind of crazy thing. So one year he did a handstand and like handstand his way back to the ring, because the rule is that both of your feet have to touch the ground of the floor. And then so this year a character named Adam Rose came out with his party posse. Kofi Kingston gets thrown out onto the party posse and they carry him back into the ring, and then then Adam Rose gets thrown out, and then Kofi Kingston gets thrown out, and the winner for this year for the King of the Ring was Seth Rollins. So as he was winning, the whole crowd in Philadelphia started to boo. They started to boo, and they were really, really upset because
they started booing as soon as that guy got ejected.
Oh, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, as soon as he was ejected, the booing started. It didn't matter who was winning.
So now, so the dust is settled. So Reigns is going to go on to WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar for the title. One of the things that came out of this was there was a big hashtag on Twitter trending called
cancel WWE.
Yeah, hashtag cancel WWE Network, because everyone was super mad and they don't want to see the title card match for WrestleMania now. And but I was with friends, we're all cracking jokes about old wrestling stories and other wrestlers talking about their experiences and the crazy stuff that they had to talk about. So that was pretty fun for that. And another thing I was geeking out about was the last season of Louis. So Louis C.K.'s show. So it's on his fourth season, and I started watching that recently, and it's really good. It's really good. It was like 2-3 scenes with like women, like I was like, wow, this is like really powerful performances and stuff, and feeling very sympathetic towards them. And like, his show is always pretty good. Makes you think, makes you laugh. And it's always, he always gets in these like crazy situations.
But you know what we can't do?
What?
Make the dead fall asleep like you can.
Thank you.
Wow, that was...
I was gonna say grow his hair, but still.
You're just jelly.
That was some weak sauce getting there.
Tell some jokes, Seb. Tell some jokes. Tell some jokes.
You put the dead to sleep, bro.
So you're saying you're dead?
Yeah.
Ooh, good for you.
Dead inside.
What else is new?
Well, I mean, you might be dead inside, but on the outside, you look pretty fabulous.
On the outside, he's got these amazing earrings. Where are they from? Chanel?
So, Kevin, what have you been up to?
There were two for one.
Normally, men get studs, not hoop earrings.
And where did you get the MAC eyeliner?
I'm glad that you were the MAC eyeliner, too. That
at the MAC store.
So, Kevin, what have you been up to?
Eating.
Are you gonna let him talk to you like that?
I can't wait to shit all over Seb's crap.
So, Kevin, what have you been up to?
I've been watching Archer. It started again. I think there are 3 episodes in. I'm glad they're kind of back on the whole spy game and not just the whole, like, device thing. Because, like, some of it was fun, but then it got really kind of going too far.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... I don't know. Some parts just didn't feel like it worked real well. But I like how they, like, right episode one, they just shit on, was it Mallory?
Oh. Whoa, spoilers, Matt! Spoilers!
Have you not seen it yet?
I haven't seen anything.
It's so good. What else?
So what else happened in Archer, Kevin?
Doesn't matter. Go to the next person. We're done with me.
All right, cool. Ellie, what have you been geeking out about?
So I got a new PC, and the first game I downloaded was Far Cry 4.
Not Minecraft?
Not Minecraft. Far Cry 4, because it came with my video card, like a free game or whatever.
Oh, wow, you got a free game with your video card? Sweet.
So I downloaded Far Cry 4. I played Far Cry 3. I think everyone played Just Cause 2. You know, it's like open world.
Yeah, who hasn't?
FPS type thing. So Far Cry 4 is the same type of deal, but it suffers from that. You know when the world is just too big and there's too many things to do?
Oh, like the GTA 5?
Yeah, so you're like not doing any missions, you're just goofing around and just doing random stuff, so you're just doing side quests and side missions, and then it's like 10 hours later and you're still like 10% in the game because you haven't done like the first campaign mission yet. Yeah, that's basically me.
Just Cause 2.
Yeah, like I'm terrible with open game world. It's fun, and the game looks beautiful. I'm playing on Ultra, and so this is too much stuff to do, and I get distracted very easily.
You need to play Skyrim.
I need to not do that. I successfully avoided all of the Elder Scrolls type games.
You should go back to WoW. Very simple. Very
no,
easy.
Please don't.
No, you go to play Skyrim, and then you put on the Macho Man Dragon mod. All the dragons are Macho Man.
Too soon. But yeah, that's I'm playing Far Cry 4. I'm enjoying it. A bit repetitive, but I think it was a good game to test out my new PC.
Oh, you didn't even get to like the jug hallucination part yet.
What do you mean?
You'll see.
No, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did some of those missions, yeah, actually.
So that must look crazy on your computer.
It's just weird, dude. I was like, what is happening?
Drugs. Which are good, which are bad. Well,
drugs. Ask your mom or ask your dad. See, drugs that were actually like that, like they showed portrayed in that game, everybody would be doing them. Don't do drugs, kids. They're bad. Stay in school.
All right.
Or don't. Whatever.
Okay. Just ask your mom and ask your dad.
So, I wasn't here last week, but I went to the Fate Forge pre-release, and I was like, I love Magic trading card game. It's a new set. A lot of fun. And then I downloaded the TCG Humble Bundle package this week, which is all card games. So, it came with like Dominion, some Soulforge packs, Magic 2015, and I tried a bunch of them out. Magic 2015 is a shit game. Don't ever spend money on it, so you all know. And then I played some more Magic on Friday, and it was amazing because I love Magic, and you should all play Magic. Play Magic with me, please.
How was Dominion?
Magical. I like the board game when playing with people. I didn't really like the website.
It didn't work as well.
It was online. I quickly gave up. I really didn't like just the characters just look so bad that I was like, I don't even care if it's not even part of the game. You just having that stupid face on the front was like, no. That was my pretty much geeking. I have a friend visiting from town, so.
Why are you not hanging out with your friend? Why are you here?
Because she's playing Magic in the South Shore, and I was like,
well, you love
far.
Magic. Why aren't you playing Magic?
Because I like you guys too, okay?
That sounds like a
very, very insincere.
It did sound very insincere.
Well, I like some of you people.
Okay, there we go.
There's the honesty we're waiting for.
Well, new season of Always Sunny in Philadelphia started 2 weeks ago. So good. And right back to like pushing the limits of comedy. It's like everybody should watch it.
Well, apparently in episode 4 or 5, it's going to be like one of the like best episodes.
Where did it end in season 9?
No spoilers though.
Was it the Thanksgiving episode?
What? Or was it the episode where like each one thinks like what they would do in like the situation if they're getting robbed? And Mike, okay, like in his version, okay, he dies and goes into heaven as like the gayest version of heaven you've ever seen. Like everybody's built and like oily.
Is that his kind of model now?
Ooh. I'm not built.
No, I actually think it was the Thanksgiving like episode
where they invite everyone to apologize.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah.
That's the last one I remember watching.
First episode's so good. They're like in a plane and they're like just drinking beers all the entire trip.
Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah. I started some of that episode. I didn't get a chance to finish it before I came, but here.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I watched the latest DC animated movie, Throne for Atlantis. I can't say it. Throne for Atlantis.
Yes, Throne of Atlantis.
Throne of Atlantis.
If I'm not mistaken.
And it was bleeping garbage.
Why?
Like, I don't know, man.
What was wrong with it?
I felt that Aquaman, like everything.
Did it leave a salt?
Everything that the new 52 did for Aquaman made him super cool.
Yeah.
They were like, F that, we're gonna make him lame again.
Seb,
Did it leave a salty taste in your mouth like the dick you had last night?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So yeah, every good part of like what they did for Aquaman and the New 52, they just like threw it out the window and just like, oh, garbage. Sorry.
Did it have dynamic hair movement?
Not really. It's like, I found that the Aquaman storyline.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Actually, you can end it there.
To like the throne of Atlantis was really well done in the comics. It just felt like, you know, they didn't want to make Aquaman
cool,
serious or cool.
Okay. So. Interesting. Kevin, you get a chance to say what you wanted to say this time for realsies, but not about Archer.
And no spoilers.
So just go into the other topic you had.
The only other thing that I did was I restarted Omega Ruby. I had made a bunch of bred Pokemon, and I wanted to, instead of just breeding them and be like, yay, great ones, and never use them, I grabbed a bunch of them, and I'm using that as my main team. So I've got like Scyther, Snorlax. I've got Treecko because it was the only one that I hadn't tried from the starters, and he's literally the weakest. He gets destroyed immediately while the other guys are surviving. But I'm having more fun this way. I think in like one sitting, I was able to get to already like 5 gyms. So that's because I know where to go now, as opposed to being like, where am I going?
I was going to say, it's probably because you like to sit a lot.
Burn!
Someone call the fire department.
I'm sorry.
Anything else?
Nope, that's all. All
right, so this past weekend, as of this recording, I went to a convention in Gatineau, Quebec called G-Anime. I had a table where I sold my pixel art. Actually, I got lucky. I got a corner table, so that was pretty sweet.
Dang, how'd you swing that?
I don't know what I did. Apparently, I just got lucky.
Amazing.
Okay. It was pretty fun. I got interviewed for a steampunk show. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's like Archimedes... something. I have to look it up. I'll probably put a link to it into the blog. But so it was really fun. I broke even, so at least it wasn't a total wash, and I got to see some good improv. Also, the Nostalgia Critic was there, Doug Walker. He also went to do the improv. He did improv with the 404s, so which are a Canadian anime improv group, and so it was pretty funny what they did. I had a decent amount of fun there. In between, there's not much to do, but otherwise fun.
Legitimate question.
Yeah, sure.
Is the G in G Anime or Gatineau?
Probably. Okay. But I
thought we were going somewhere else with that.
So it wasn't for greatness.
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing.
So I made
not good either.
So I made bead art. It was fun. I sold a bunch of it.
Like anal bead art?
Yes, anal bead art. Otherwise, other than that, while I was preparing for the convention, I was marathoning the second and third seasons of The Republic of Doyle, which is a Canadian detective fiction taking place in St. John's.
Newfoundland.
St. John's, Newfoundland.
So you don't understand anything.
No, their accents are pretty not intelligible. You can understand their accents.
Yeah. Is Republic of Doyle with the guy from Sue Thomas FBI?
No.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, you're thinking of
Murdoch Mysteries. I knew you knew what I was talking about.
Apparently there's a crossover in like season 4 or season 5 of Republic of Doyle where it's a descendant.
Okay.
Who has his own, who's following a case there.
Thomas FBI.
There are some like notable people who do appear in the show in its second, actually first, second, and third season. Victor Garber from like Alias and a whole bunch of other things appears. Mm-hmm. I had no clue he was Canadian until I saw him on the show.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I completely didn't know.
Another
also
Canadian.
Oh my god, Russell Crowe shows up in the season premiere of season 3.
Wait, he's Canadian too?
No.
But you just said people on the show are Canadian. I'm confused, Andrew.
Wow.
No, you weren't listening at all.
Yeah. No, but I looked it up because usually what happens is...
Was he drunk?
No, that was a guest starring role. Anyway.
Did he beat up anybody?
He did actually play drunk for a little bit.
Did he throw a telephone?
No, but he did have beer in his hand at some point.
Did he tell a story about how he didn't have a tooth and then the director made him get a tooth?
Okay. Anyway, so it's a fun little show.
Are you entertained?
If you're like into mystery fiction, it's just something nice and serialized. Not super serialized, but nice and one and done, but the character stuff is still pretty interesting. And overall, it's a Canadian show, so the budget isn't all there, but you know,
it's taking place
trying.
In St. John's.
And it takes place in St. John's, and it has a very... How do you
like
call
coastlines?
It? Actually, not so many on that. Lots of hills, though. Lots of hills, apparently.
Was he the master or the commander?
Russell Crowe?
Boo!
In Gladiators?
No, in Master of Commander. Damn it.
Anything else you guys would like to bring up?
Well, you didn't watch enough.
Please, no.
Okay, well, that was a very... disjointed and very loopy geeking around segment.
Oh boy.
I am the law.
Hopefully we'll be able to stay more on topic for the main topic.
Don't count on it.
So join us in the next segment where we'll be discussing the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Woo-hoo!
And potentially Goon.
Hockey stuff.
This is Austin St. John. I play Jason, the original Red Ranger from television's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Right now, I am geeking out at the Tower Podcast. Check it out, man. It's Morphin time.
And we're back, and this is our main topic, where we're going to discuss a few hockey movies, more specifically the Mighty Ducks trilogy, in honor, quote-unquote, of the All-Star game that happened just the past weekend of this recording, where the final score was 17-12.
Not that it matters.
Exactly.
It's a circle.
Circle jerk of life?
Of hockey.
I guess so. So we're going to just get right on into it. You okay over there, Ali?
Yes.
Awesome. So the first movie we'll be talking about is the first Mighty Ducks movie called The Mighty Ducks. And in this movie, there's a douchebag lawyer.
Gordon Bombay.
Gordon Bombay. Wow, I forgot the name.
Played by Emilio Estevez.
Played by Emilio.
Emilio!
And he basically decides that it's fun to drink and drive. And so the judge, who he basically emasculated in the previous scene.
It's not his fault, man. He got like shit on when he thought, I just did a big ass win.
Yeah.
But I'll let you do your synopsis.
Okay, cool. So after drinking and driving, he gets sentenced to 500 hours of community service of coaching a peewee hockey team. And so he meets the kids. They all suck, quote unquote, at the beginning because, you know, it's a sports movie.
Montage later.
Then there's a brief montage of them sucking. And then they get into his limo for randomness and craziness happens.
And he has a limo because he's a lawyer.
He's not allowed to drive anymore.
Oh,
and because,
yeah.
And so they give him a limo as part of the whole thing, which later becomes a van when he becomes more interested. Anyway, so they go on to their first game. He treats them like garbage.
Because they are.
Because they're bad. But he acts like his old coach. And then he gets advice from the skate shark
Hans.
Which I feel like if this movie was remade today, it would just be played by
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Because it's the type of advice
he's the magical, mystical Scandinavian guy?
German.
Excuse me.
Magical, mystical
German.
It was a phase.
Yeah, so after this, he basically changes his whole
way of coaching.
And so another montage later of him trying to teach the kids and them failing at it and then slowly getting it.
Like a real montage.
Yeah, he recruits the best player, one of the best players from the rival team.
The Hawks.
Because of semantics.
Yes.
No, zoning laws. Bro.
Zoning laws, but it's semantically, he just basically, like, you know.
Well, he uses lawyerness to his advantage.
Yeah. And then they recruit Fulton Reed, who is just the biggest sixth grader. or
he failed, no?
Yeah.
Is he being held back?
I think he was just a large sixth grader.
Exactly.
Giant growth spurt.
Yeah, he just had his growth spurt early.
Yeah, puberty hit him like a ton of bricks.
Who has, did they give a name to his shot? Or just like...
It's just a slap shot.
Just a quick slap shot that everyone dodges out of the way of whenever it comes.
Because he'll die.
Also, he can't skate at first. So
and
have
only one
that.
Shot out of five makes the net.
Yes, that's the thing, yes.
So he's like the Babe Ruth of hockey.
And so then there's a montage of them, you know, not a montage, but they play a few games. They're getting good at it. They play against, is it because they play against a rival team? No, it's
they
after
play,
he...
Yeah, they played the Hawks the first time and got destroyed.
Yeah,
right.
After he gets the bang from the other team, he says some sarcastic comments, which the kids overhear and take out of context. They basically revolt against him.
Yeah, it's act three.
Yes, it's immunity on the bounty.
Yes. And then in class, they have an argument. They all get detention. He realizes...
But they quack together.
Yes, they all quack, and that's how they end up with detention.
So all these kids are in the same class.
That's one of my comments, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
They band back together as a team, and they get into the playoffs montage. They make it to the finals. Craziness happens. And, you know, it's a Disney movie. They win!
Yo, no way! Awesome.
In shutouts.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Charlie does a triple deke.
Yeah. So my main comment, I remember writing this down after I thought about the movie just a bit more briefly, is that, what is it? Mighty Ducks 1 is an adult vicariously living through a child.
Yep. And that's what most kids' movies about
and sports
are about.
And trying to bang the child's mom.
Hey, the child's like, I want you to be my dad.
Yeah.
No. It's so awkward because the kid's like immediately like, man, you're awesome.
You want to be my dad?
Yeah. It's like, you know who's awesome too? My mom. Want to come and stay for dinner?
You know what would be awesome if you guys hooked up? What's up?
Yeah, yeah. And also another thing, that kid is super attached. At one point, I wrote this line down. You made us. Now you're stuck with us. After he debates quitting the team after what happened.
You think it's like a social message like, yo, dads, don't give up on your kids?
Yeah.
Yo, fake dads, don't give up on your fake kids.
And I like how Also, okay, there's like only two parents, like, that always show up. Like, yeah, the black parent.
Well, obviously.
And then Charlie's mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to have the token black
parent. Yo, Charlie's mom has got it going on.
Yeah, yeah, she's like 90s MILF material, I guess you could say. Not super MILF, but you know, like 90s, early 90s.
Like, you would see why Gordon Bombay, a rich lawyer, would go after her.
Who's apparently like 28.
Well, let's
really? He's that young? He's not even 30 yet?
Yeah, because in D2, they tell him that he says he's 29
in D2. Yeah, he's 29 D2, which is a year after.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I'm like, wow, you do not look anything like you're in the 20s.
Well, he was probably in high school.
Emilio!
So, just a few thoughts on the movie that I had. It's so 90s.
Yes.
It's like it's an early 90s sports movie. It's so 90s.
It's a good kind of 90s.
I just want to say something real quick that, like, you say it's really.
I can't just let Andrew talk.
Because it's a point. But no, it's just that, like, you know, it's very 90s, but, like, when I think about back at that movie, it feels like more, like, I guess, late 80s. Like, the color palette isn't crazy neon, and, like, the contrast between that movie and D2.
It's more the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, rollerblades.
Yeah.
Rollerblades. Every time I see rollerblades, I think 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
There's, like, several rollerblading scenes.
It's like rollerblades, sunny, but in this one, it's, like, dark. It's always inside the arena. It's always, like, you know, it's just a very darker color palette. That's
I guess so. Keith, do you have any thoughts?
I think it was non-believable. No lawyer would give up his rich job for these kids and put everything at risk. Even if he was ordered to.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, he did. In the end, he still did. He did give up because he wanted to keep Banks on the team. And that was, like, the ultimatum.
Well, no, it's because he followed through his principle. He's like, you know what? Fair play. You try to teach me that?
Yeah.
I'm putting it into practice.
And that's what's hilarious is his boss, the whole point of this whole thing was his boss being like, you need to be a better person. You can't be this hotshot lawyer anymore. And he turns out to be cutting like an actual good person. And then his lawyer's like, well, he's my friend. So you either do this or you're fired. And it's like, well, you.
Let's be honest, okay? Mr. Quacksworth is a quack.
But
quack quack, Mr. Quacksworth.
One thing I would note is that there's when I say so 90s as well is that there's so many like pranks that the kids are pulling.
Yeah, right off the bat, there's like the poop purse prank or something like that.
The poop purse. Oh my god, what else was it? Can't remember. And the bullies are so 90s as well, like the three kids from the rival hockey team,
mm-hmm.
and they're like just circling the kids on the rollerblades, and then they get picked up by like the big kid. And get thrown into the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
But they get thrown on. They get thrown on one of the other kids that was bullied first. You know.
Yeah.
So like Reed doesn't give a shit. He's just like, you three go on top of this guy.
Yeah. Don't cushion your fall.
At some point.
Because garbage kids deserve to be in the trash.
Yeah. And there's that point where he cons his boss into giving him the money. Then we get another montage with them shopping
and getting like their upgraded gear.
Yeah.
So now they're all powered up.
Yeah. And just making a whole mess of the shop.
I like the part where he's like trying to teach them the eggs, and then at one point he's like trying to teach the goalie. He's like, "Do you trust me?" And he just ties them to the nets.
Yeah, because he's afraid of the puck.
Yeah,
but he has so much gear on him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so now that scene. I want to lift to my bar mitzvah.
Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, and then when they're trying to teach the slapshot kid Fulton how to escape, they knock a lady into the fountain.
No,
and I just go like, oh, man, poor lady. Just, like, drenched.
But going
drenched.
Back to Goldberg getting tied to the net, like, that was also spoofed in The Simpsons when they did their, like, hockey episode.
Yeah.
And, like, Milhouse got knocked out. He was the goalie, and he gets knocked out, and then they just tie him to the net. And then, like, the puck, like, slowly slides up to him, and he's just trying to blow the puck
away.
And then he's like, yes, Milhouse, keep blowing. And then he just passes him underneath the line and just gives up. And then now Pooh was super pissed. He's like, you got that blowing defense, you got that blowing. Oh, such a good episode. But that's how influential the Mighty Ducks were.
Oh, the product placement in this? Not, it's super overt. Like, so there's this, how would I put it?
Don't they have like a
motif that they do? Well, there's that. There's the fact that between like after a hockey game, there's like a newspaper clipping.
Yeah.
And in one of them is just Coca-Cola and Giant. It's like, there's like apparently a newspaper that's reporting on or there's a national newsletter apparently reporting on Pee-wee hockey in Minnesota.
Well, they're in Minnesota, not much happens, don't you know?
Yes.
Where about Bay? Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hockey, football, and Prince. That's what's going on in Minnesota.
So one thing I also want to mention is the racism in this is so casual. God, it's
there's two black kids on the team, right?
We don't have this problem here.
No, but they're the ones just calling people like
actually,
it's essentially the equivalent of like honkies, but the kid version of that. like cake eater.
Really?
I didn't see that at all. Like two of the three movies are going like cake eater whenever they're talking to the white kids.
Well, no, because they're calling Banks a cake eater because he's like rich.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're the proletariat and they're rebelling.
That's it. He's
Marie Antoinette.
It's towards Banks more than because Banks is rich.
So there's class war going on.
It is very much a class.
Yo, man, I feel bad for that Banks kid. He got ripped out from his teams, has to hang out with a bunch of losers.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have to hang out with a bunch of losers. Hang out with a bunch of poor kids.
Well, that's the thing about it.
Aren't they the same thing?
But what made him not so
in the '90s?
To be fair, what made him not a horrible person is that he just wanted to play hockey. Yeah. He actually didn't care who he played hockey for. He just wanted to play hockey.
His father.
And you can see in his eyes when his dad's like, so he'll just not play hockey. And he's just like, he's like, yo, excuse me.
That's true.
Apparently, that's why he hurt himself trying to turn his hand.
That's the second.
Second movie. Second movie. Yeah.
Apparently, it's a Minnesota thing too. Cake eater. It's like rich people from a certain area.
There we go. Learning something every day.
Class divisions.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because classes. My bad.
Yeah, because definitely the Ducks were definitely like working class, and then everyone on the Hawks.
District
were, like,
five.
Yeah. And that's it. And Banks is rich, and so it looked like cake.
You know, you could have just told me Banks was rich. You didn't have to name him Banks. Make it stupid obvious.
So also, like we mentioned earlier, I love how they're all in the same science class. Like the entire team.
Are they all in elementary or high school?
They're middle school.
A lot of public schools have like zoning regulations, okay, for like who can attend. So it makes sense that
all those kids from that class decide to play hockey. Get out of here.
I'm just saying, maybe they're all like the same kind of stupid and they're like in
the remedial science class is what you're saying.
Yes.
Or what is it, Tammy and Tommy the twins? With the short kid and the his sister.
Is it Tammy and Sammy, no?
No, it's Tammy and Tommy.
They're not twins.
No, they're
just they're in the same class.
They're not twins though.
Apparently they're in the same
class. Maybe the kid is a genius.
And so like it's like mom's not gonna like they're gonna play hockey. Well, we get to do figure skating, so you have to do what I wanna do. It's like I don't know anything about hockey that she knocks him to the ground.
Yeah,
he's like, you know more than you think. And then the science teacher goes, my Adams, when they start throwing him around, which leads to the big quacking scene when the principal comes in.
Oh god.
Well, yeah, because Bombay told him, you know, it's the Ducks, okay?
Ducks
fight. Why do you think Ducks don't fight? Because they know when you mess with one duck, you mess with all of them.
And so yeah, when he comes in, they're all in the tension.
Yeah.
He's like, I know where every single one of them is. I will not quack at the principal.
Oh yeah.
Then there's the whole dodging out of the pucks way whenever the kid takes a slap shot.
Mm-hmm. Wait, everyone just runs. Doesn't like one of the shots actually just go through the net and like there's a little
fireball or something like that? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cartoony.
I must have missed that one, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. You guys, any other thoughts you guys want to bring up?
We went through the entire movie.
No, we really haven't yet. We're only
the father of Banks is like he's completely like terrible right until the end. He's still wearing the Hawks jersey even though like his
son's he's rooting for his kid.
He's not rooting for his kid.
When Banks is about to go and score, he's like, yes!
Yeah, but he's still wearing the coat of the Hawks. So bad.
Paid for that
once
jersey.
A Hawk, always a Hawk.
So, was that in the first movie? Is it? It's not the Dallas Stars, is it?
No, it's before the Stars. It's before the expansion, and they go.
They move.
They go to Dallas. Yeah. So it's the Minnesota North Stars. Yeah,
North Stars. Yeah, because there's that random just like hockey, like official NHL hockey game in the middle of it all that they go to, and where the other Hawks just go up to Banks and just like you're dead. Thing. And this is when the one of the black kids who was basically hating on Banks for not being a duck starts to realize starts to like soften up on the guy because you know
he's in the same boat with
you.
We might be from different classes but we both love hockey
basically. Then I wrote 90s flirting where all it is hey kiss. It's basically that they say a few sentences and then they're fully like making out like crazy.
Well, it wasn't so bad.
If you were a single mother, okay, and like the only income was from like a diner, Emilio Estevez
as hotshot, like, Laurie comes in, he's like, hey,
it's not me, alright? But no, like, she does explain right off the bat, like, no, look, you have to understand, I have a kid, my responsibilities to the kid.
Oh, I don't care about your kid, I want you.
It's still a romance, but, like, it's shortened because it is a kid's movie, but, yeah.
But it was really, like, I still liked that the fact that the mother was like, no, I have to think of the kid, mm-hmm. like, you can't operate this kid's heart. So, like, I was like, okay, at least the mother has a bit of a
foresight,
like, a good idea, like, yeah. realizing what's going on, but, like, you do realize your kid is, like, constantly telling, like, yeah, you should bang my mother, and it's like, oh, jeez, it's
and,
so
you know, this is all, this is what we see Charlie do to, like, Gordon. What about the other side we don't see, like, his, like, Charlie's like, yo, mom, you really should bang my coach.
I want to see, it's the only way I can get it.
And then there's, he's a real good guy, look, he has money.
Playoff montage where they just basically beat the few teams that you see throughout the movie.
Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals, which they tied, I think.
The first time
they actually got into, like, their full gear and everything. Yeah. And then they play off in the finals against the Hawks with the douchebag coach.
They're down.
Yeah.
They get back up.
Well, you know, Banks towards the turning. Yeah. Well, hold on. I'm going to get to that. So they basically take out Banks and knock him out, more or less. And
give him a, although he got a goal.
But he got the goal, yeah. And then he's like, what did you do? Like, one of the kids is like, oh, shucks, we went too far. What did you do? And this kid's so evil.
My job.
It's so bad. Wow. That kid is brainwashed.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Karate Kid. Sweep the leg! Sweep the leg, Johnny!
Yeah, but those are teenagers, so they're more likely that a teenager would say something like that. But like when a 10 or a 12-year-old kind of says something to that effect, it's like, you're either brainwashed or, like, yeah, it's crazy.
Or you're evil.
He's definitely Slytherin.
Yeah. Obviously, it's an evil team. They're all wearing black.
No, but like that kid who goes, what did you do? That's a natural reaction. And the other kid's like, my job.
Yeah, because Banks was his friend.
Yeah, and then run away from puck into goalie into goal. Does that mean anything to anybody?
No, I don't know.
Run away from puck. Oh, no, there is.
I think you might have been drunk when you wrote that down.
No, I was tired, but yeah.
There was a scene at one point where, like, he's like, no, wait, don't get in, because he's still afraid of the puck, and then everybody just slams into the net with the Ducks goalie.
And then we get, so at this point, the Ducks are down, and so that goal that Banks made is the turning point, so they start making a lot of silly goals, like the spinning Tammy goal.
Oh, yeah.
Where she starts just doing the spinning axle.
Yeah, and then she's mesmerized. The goal is like, whoa.
Everyone's mesmerized.
Oh my god, it's so beautiful.
Figure skaters, by the way, because they were figure skaters. They're recruited for figure skating. And then there's the flying V goal.
Yeah.
Where the flying V
makes no sense.
Last second penalty shot.
It makes perfect sense in Disney movie logic.
Yeah.
Birds fly together.
Yeah.
In a V form.
And then there's my comment.
They pass the puck back to one guy, and they pass it back to the person in front, and then they
wouldn't
shoot
that be
in.
A pass forward, not a pass back?
Well, they pass it back.
Essentially, they're passing.
Would it be icing?
No.
If they don't do it right, would it be icing?
It'd be offside.
Icing is when you launch it from
one side to the
other.
It's before the blue line, though.
He needs to have the puck in front when they go through the blue line. Yeah. They can pass it afterwards.
And then they pass it.
As long as everyone is across.
So that is basically the flaw of the flying V, is if they just stand right in front of him at the line.
Yeah, if they mess up, okay, it's
proven in the next two movies.
Which we're getting to. You're trying to jump ahead too quick,
and
Keith.
This is the longest brief description I've ever heard. And also the problem with the flying...
One second. We're in the middle of discussing the movie.
Yeah, we already did
the description.
You're ignoring everything.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, just the big problem with the flying V is that you're removing your defensemen from your defense line to bring them to, like, attack with you.
Well, no, like, your
PK
your
goes
D,
forward all the time.
Your D has to, like,
no, but
the defense,
like, at least one of them. No, it's not both.
A lot of times, like, everybody gets in front.
Yeah, but you don't really see everybody.
Yeah, you do. Well, no,
like,
you're down and you gotta score, they pull the goal.
No, we don't see all four. Like, all
this
players
this
in, like, front of the net. Like,
no,
yeah,
this is
called power play.
Yeah.
But you gotta remember, this is like
PB
hockey. This is PB hockey. They're actually playing way more.
They don't know any rules.
Like, sophisticated than most PB we
have. I don't know. Flying V is pretty sophisticated.
Just in general, but yeah. No,
and they're not tiny little kids, like, oh, look how cute that
for
is.
12-year-olds? Yeah.
Hey, they love hockey. I'm pretty sure they love the rules, too.
And this is, so we're towards the end of the movie now. This is a callback. Bombay had got told by one of the Minnesota North Stars that he could get him trying out for the minors.
Yeah, I could get you in the minors, the AHL,
so
bro.
He goes to try out for the minors because I don't think.
Well, because
he's following his dream.
Yeah,
he's
following his dream.
He
doesn't have a job.
He's
he
a lawyer.
Money.
He can get his.
Yeah, but he's
no way, Mr. Quackworth would give him the worst references ever.
Ranger. What
he's
have you
disillusioned.
Been doing?
He's disillusioned with his
no,
job.
I get it. And then I noticed this. It's like straight up sequel bait. And it's like, see you next season. Right.
Don't forget
the
practice under off season, guys.
Which you find out in the movie that they didn't. So any thoughts, any other thoughts you guys want to give out on the movie?
The triple deek is stupid.
Well, the flying V is stupid.
The whole spinning thing, you know, when before he touches the puck.
Well, the thing is that, like, with a lot of sports movies, you always need that, like, special move, but usually when you think about it in the context of the actual sport, it's like you're just doing this thing. It's not even that special.
No, I mean, the actual move is alright.
But then he spins.
But, like, the...
Then he just spins around?
No, like, the, you know, spinning
As if he's playing, like, a tabletop hockey game?
No. You know when, like, right before he touches the puck, he skates around the puck.
Yeah, he wants to build momentum.
Momentum, my ass.
That's what you do on a frictionless surface. You build momentum.
Any other thoughts?
The coach of the Hawks is an ass for no reason other than being an ass.
The coach of the Hawks, like, physically resembles my uncle.
Your uncle was on Lois.
Everyone on the Hawks
was just gonna say,
Superman.
I was just gonna say that
everyone on the Hawks' team was an ass. So why wouldn't the coach?
No.
Be
him
ass?
Specifically.
Well, you can see that it trickles down from the coach to the.
Well, yeah, because Bombay became an ass because his coach made him believe winning is the only thing.
You know,
matters.
It's just like in Karate Kid. If you have an evil coach, you're gonna be an evil person.
Exactly.
Yeah,
man.
Mr.
Karate
Miyagi,
Kid
then
on
you're
ice.
Good.
It's like it's way too serious for someone who's not getting paid to do this.
Exactly.
You're like a volunteer.
He's not even a volunteer. He's obligated by law.
They basically have been winning since, like, for 40 years, except for, like, the 1 year Bombay missed that goal.
I really wish you could take that one down, Bombay. Let me rub it in your face, Bombay.
Don't you.
You're a failure, Bombay.
I never knew anyone who liked hockey as much as you, but then you changed, Bombay.
You became a
remember
now.
You don't just mess up for yourself. You mess up for everyone.
Yeah, that coach, like, when you listen... Okay, so the opening monologue is, you gotta get this goal. Because if you don't, you're screwing it up for the team. You're just like,
you're
not
just
wow.
You're going to support yourself. You're going to support everyone.
He says that. But then the Ducks fly together. So if they all, if one loses, they all lose. So it's the same thing.
You're skipping things
different,
around.
Just different
we're talking
Ducks.
About the Hawks and the
Yeah.
But the difference
is that they're having fun. The Hawks will care.
The
like,
difference is also that he's nothing. Telling him, it's like, yeah, we win or lose together. As long as we have fun, we tried. It doesn't matter if we win
as
or lose.
As long as they have fun, they're really
the coach is like, you lose.
Yeah, that's
letting
some 2090s bullshit.
But they
winning counts.
2090s? Are we going to...
So 2000s
or
first, then it became the 90s. So the 90s right
because
now.
Because now it's all about participation and not hurting kids
right now,
things.
People.
And this was the start of it. This is why none of our kids have any goals anymore.
I got disqualified from
the
race.
Where did you go with
Dad,
this?
But I got a participation trophy.
Yeah. Barney Duck said it was okay to lose. It's all about having fun. And
what's
a
loser? Always a loser.
Bunch of loser kids that can't even think.
I am so lost right now. I don't even know
anything.
Are you not paying attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No.
It's very garbled.
You're just making up nonsense.
It's true.
You said 2000 to the 90s.
Dear God, man. Anyway.
That's 100 years in
okay,
the future.
Final thoughts before we give our final ratings on the first movie?
See it.
You have to watch it.
Just see it aged pretty well, you know?
As campy, as goofy, as mindless as it is a good little fun movie.
Slap shots for kids. Go see it.
Cool. All right, so we'll give your rating.
7 out of 10. Slap shots into the...
At the net?
Yeah.
Keith?
4 Goldberg saves out of 5.
I'm gonna give it 4.5 quacks out of 5.
Devin, I want Kessie quacks.
But it's no MVP, most valuable primate.
It definitely is no MVP, most valuable primate.
Goodness.
I'm gonna say 4.5. Yes, Mr. Quacksworth.
Mr. Ducksworth.
Mr. Ducksworth.
Get it right.
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 stars. North Stars.
Minnesota North Stars?
Yes, Minnesota All right. North Stars, don't you?
8 out of 10 Charlie's mom.
We're rating the movie, not the woman.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to give it 4 montages out of 5.
Push it to the limit.
Or 4 flying Vs out of 5.
They're missing a player? Are they
Banks
like,
is out, man. Banks can't go back in, coach.
Are they on, like, in a power kill?
Yeah, power kill.
Goldberg's still tied to the net.
obviously some
power
of us...
play is if I when you do the power kill is because you
oh score. You just kill power play
yeah
power kill
like it has a
penalty trick. Kill
huh
it's called
is it a penalty kill
yes
that, god damn it don't you watch any hockey
like nobody right. Nobody would do not watch hockey what
all I see is PK. Bit.
Anyway, let's get to the second movie.
Wait, wait, but the most important part of the first movie is that because of this movie...
We had a sequel.
Disney bought a team.
Yeah.
Was it, no,
what
the second
movie. But is it in the second movie where they actually bought the team? Yes, it would, because the expansion was in 94, right?
The expansion was in 93. Right, the movie was in 92.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, but they showed the jerseys
in
the
second
movie.
Yeah,
they started
when
wearing
was
the
actual
second movie.
94. 94. It was filming during 93.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't matter because the team was already out in
93. Yeah, but you're right. Because of this movie, Disney bought a team when the NHL, which luckily was expanding that same...
Disney has
right
that
after.
Much pull to buy a Disney, to buy a hockey
well,
team.
Well, yeah. They
sold it,
money
but
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, yeah, of course they sold it.
But,
why, of course they sold it? They sold it and 2 years later, the Ducks won a cup.
Well, so, Disney, poor management, what's up?
Oh, it was just more of a product placement tie into the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, so.
They weren't making any more Mighty Ducks movies or cartoons, so they moved it on.
Yeah. D2, Mighty Ducks. So this takes...
Wait, before you say anything, they literally use the exact same font and the exact same lettering for the whole intro scene from the first one to the second one. I was looking at this, I'm like, holy crap, they're cheap.
That's not cheap. It's adding continuations so that you know nothing has changed.
They changed it in the third one.
It's also the 90s.
So there's no continuity error.
Just was it in Papyrus?
No, it's not complaining.
It was
a comic song.
I would have said for Wingdings, but that's just
anyway, go on. I had to just say that.
Okay, so Gordon Bombay is playing in the minors.
No, first off, is a little flashback. Remember where you're from, Bombay. This part is yours.
Yes, Dad,
yes. Don't die.
This is where they set up the inner conflict of the movie. So Bombay is in the minor leagues. He's doing well. He's on his way to making it pro.
He's not doing well. He's doing amazing. And he's gonna go pro.
And then
no one can see him on the NHL.
Then he gets essentially crushed by two players from the opposing team.
And he gets his knee
injured. Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. And so that brings them back to Minneapolis, I think, is where they live.
As a failure.
And this is where we get to meet Hans's brother, who he didn't know yet.
Yeah.
Jan.
What's his name? Jan and Hans.
Who picks him up? Because
Jan.
Hans was...
Hans.
Visiting, Mom, Hans was visiting the mother out back in the old country.
Germany.
Well, he just says, like, the old country. So you find out little things like Charlie's mom remarried, which is just a way
like,
to write...
What, really fast.
Just to write her out of the movie for some reason.
Retcon.
When you were gone for 6 months, my mom found someone else and married
him. I told him to marry somebody else.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever, he's in the minor leagues now. He's too high for you, Mom. You got someone else.
I helped become some other man's
wingman. I heard Ducksworth is once.
Okay, then Bombay gets essentially tasked to coach Team USA in the Goodwill Games, basically because he won a championship with this team.
But yeah, because of Minnesota Miracle.
And so, basically what they decide to do for Team USA is to take the Ducks and add in a bunch of players from
different
parts of the USA.
Wasn't it like four other people?
No, it was like
there was a Hispanic.
It was
so
Miami.
So there was Miami, so you get Mendoza from Miami who can skate really fast but can't stop.
Right.
You get the girl from Maine whose name I can't remember. It's not Connie because Connie is the original girl. But the girl
she's
from Maine who's
goalie.
The goalie, the second goalie.
She's like the best goalie ever or something.
That they never use.
Is it Tammy?
No. Tammy was the figure skater from the first one. You get a cowboy from Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Who is one of the best puck handlers.
Yeah.
But
he's too much of a showboat.
But he's too much of a showboat. You get Kenny Wu,
who's a figure
skater to fix that quota, who basically learns hockey because there's more of a future in it.
Yeah.
And he can't be touched. And then you meet the Bash brother, the other aggressor.
He's from Chicago.
And so they don't get along at first.
I liked his intro when he comes in. Like he's listening to rock music. Yeah. He's like, and he skates in.
Like, is he really a teenager?
The Bash brothers?
Yeah. Is he really a teenager?
So they start off, they don't like each other. They get into arguments, and then Bombay is like, look, you gotta work as a team.
Let me rope you up.
It's gotta be fun. They have a fun of roping around. And so...
Like his bondage fantasies, he ropes up the kids.
I guess so.
Oh,
so basically, Bombay signed a contract that would pay him a lot of money to coach Team USA to promote it. So you can start... Like, it starts off as fun, but as they start going... As they get to the actual tournament
and
in Anaheim, he gets the merchandise. So he gets... They end up on a Wheaties box. He gets his own... photo shoot. He gets a beach house.
He gets his coach loafers that kids will want to buy.
Well, no, he's trying to pitch that. But this doesn't actually work. And so he becomes more of a douchebag as the thing goes.
He gels his hair back.
He basically goes back to how he was in Mighty Ducks 1.
Exactly,
like so straight up. Exactly.
Old good old Bombay.
So they start off the tournament against Trinidad, and which we'll get to.
Okay.
They win that one. Then they play, forget who, another team. It's like maybe Germany or something.
I think it was Germany.
Yeah, so they win that one. And then they play
Canada, but they don't show it. It just comes up in a newspaper clipping. I remember that.
Then they play
Iceland, who are, if you didn't realize it,
evil.
The bad team. They're wearing black, and they just straight up, their coach is a douchebag. All the team are douchebags.
Their coach got like expelled from the NHL because he was just
a fighter. Like a ridiculous
fighter. He spent more time off the ice than
it. And this is early, this is like the 90s when like hockey was still like rough and tough.
Yeah, so
the nickname they gave him in the movie was the Tooth Fairy because he kept destroying people's teeth.
Yeah. The dentist.
Yeah,
and Coach Blood comes back.
And this is played by Dolph Lundgren?
No.
Yes,
no,
the guy from Drago. Drago from Rocky IV.
It's not Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
I'm willing
look
to
it up.
How much money are we putting on this?
No, just look it up.
It's not Dolph Lundgren. So who's the dentist?
It's
coach.
Samuel L. Jackson.
You're talking about the coach?
The coach from the Iceland team.
Yeah, it's not Dolph Lundgren.
No. All right, well, we take this slide break to figure out who this is.
Because I was just
Keep entertain us.
Drago.
Go look at the clip I sent Wendell.
No.
That was a couple
days. No, he would have been built higher.
Isn't it? Wolf Stanton? Coach Wolf Stanton?
Yeah, Wolf
Carson Norgrad.
Oh.
Not,
is it? You should really... No, I did look it up.
Man, you should probably look it up.
On IMDb, man.
I'm looking at Wikipedia as well.
Look.
If it was Dolph Lundgren was in this, he would have had higher billing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they lose against Iceland because it's a double elimination tournament. They're not out. Their confidence is broken. Bombay is a bigger douche than ever.
Because they pulled the same stunt as they did in the first one.
Really?
Where in this one, he's like, he's having ice cream.
He's dating.
They're just talking. And
girl
of course,
from Iceland, the assistant coach.
And of course, the two kids are overhearing it and not like they're misinterpreting
everything. And Charlie's being a jerk about it too.
After perving off to like some ladies showing off some clothes.
Oh yeah,
no.
That's the other movie.
No, the Bash Brothers are walking around trying to pick up chicks. They notice him, and then before the tournament starts, a few of the kids from the team go looking for a shirt for Goldberg's mom, and they end up in a ritzy fashion place and get a fashion show. But
You know what I think my mom really needs? A bikini.
I was going to get to that in general discussion. So they lose against Iceland. At this point, Keenan Thompson calls them out and they go, you guys suck. I'm going to show you some real hockey.
Right.
So they go and they meet with the older kids who teach them what being Team America is all about.
Black and hood.
Yeah. So they play some street hockey. They regain their confidence. They continue.
Is that when they learn about special?
The knuckle puck.
Yes.
Yes, they learn about the knuckle puck. At this point, during the game with Team Iceland, Banks got slashed, and so his arm is
busted.
So, well, it was just the head the first time, but now his arm is busted because he's their best player. So they have to like gimp him every movie just to.
So he's the Hulk. They have to like shoot him off the planet.
Basically, it comes out that he can't really move his arm. So Bombay puts him on the bench, which means Keenan Thompson comes up to play. They play a few more games, and then they reach the final game where Banks is good again, and it's of Keenan's character going out. Charlie decides to go out and help the coaching.
Yeah, it becomes the assistant.
And so they play Iceland. Iceland gets a lead, like in the first movie.
Right.
And then they start doing a whole bunch of ridiculous fun plays to basically throw them off their game and catch back up.
Mm-hmm.
But this one has a more of a pull and pull.
Push and pull.
So like they catch up and then Iceland will score again and then they'll catch up again. Goes into shootouts, they win.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it the triple deke this time that saved them?
Nope, it was a good goalieing.
Oh yeah. True, the girl.
Yeah, which they do not use at all ever throughout the whole movie until this
year. She's like, we got a goalie already though.
No, but I love to make her stay relevant. She ends up like literally going to the coach and be like, no, literally, I want to play.
Yeah.
And the coach is like, no, no, you'll play. Don't worry.
We have a goalie.
No, no.
Yeah, no. And he says the first time, it's like, I'll keep it in mind, but we have a goalie kind of thing.
And it's Goldberg.
He kind of just, but now then he realizes he can use her later.
Yeah.
But and it's then so bad.
Yeah.
And then they have the campfire at the end with the.
Oh, and they sing. They sing Queen, we are champions.
Yeah. So let's just go quickly through the movie. My first thought. God, Gordon Bombay is 29. I put so I'm like exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. That is insane to me. He looked too old to be playing hockey.
He's like Michael J. Fox in everything.
He looks too old.
He's too old.
He's definitely not a Teen Wolf.
And then also like the Charlie's Mom remarried. I love how you can just go from coaching a peewee hockey team to coaching Team USA.
Yep. No, you know what's even better than that? When you discard your Team USA jersey and then you wear a new brand new Ducks jersey.
Where did he get the Ducks jersey?
I don't know.
Jan.
It's Jan.
Like Mundo disrespected USA over there.
Well, apparently they didn't care. They had already changed all the neon signs to go with it.
Oh yes. My goodness. So
and then there's like,
we will quack you.
Yeah. So there's also another montage when they're getting the gang back together.
So, oh, so 90s!
God, this movie is so 90s.
The Quack Attack is back, Jack!
And so they're just skating around all over town. Doing like extreme stuff.
Yeah. Oh, look, they're pulling press at the same time. I take your hat. Oh, look, you're gonna be drowning in cement. Fuck.
Yes. So, what I said, so I love it. General Cinema.
Uh-huh.
General Cinema, they go pick up Averman, the guy who likes to talk a lot.
Right.
It's super easy to be disruptive in a mall. Super easy on rollerblades. I love that it's getting it's getting the band back together as a montage.
Yeah.
And the cement guy on the face, and then I put it so dead.
No problem killing off some randoms
so
on the street.
Dead.
But does he fall into like a wheelbarrow or is he falls?
No,
when
he
falls down, and the cement falls on his face, and you're like, and you see it in his mouth.
He's just like,
and the other guy's not paying attention because like, oh, these kids. And he's like, oh shit.
Guy's about to make out with the girl, and then they're like, dude, let's go play some hockey. He's like, I was this close.
Yeah, to both of them though. I mean, they're both on the team.
Oh yeah, because in the first movie they had like they were holding hands.
They're moving forward.
Yeah, but only nothing happened. Nothing happened to
Goldberg still can't skate.
Well, Goldberg's working at his family's delicatessen. It's like, wow, if you had to make a more stereotypical Jewish.
Yeah. And then the three bullies from the first movie.
Oh, they come back, yeah.
Reed like comes in like with his fucking deep ass voice.
Hey guys.
And then basically catches them and ties them to a tree.
Because the 90s, those wacky kids.
Oh man, but that montage was so 90s. It was definitely very fun.
That's why it hasn't aged as well as the ones, because this one is really 90s.
The points that I put throughout this whole thing was like many people injured on ice due to terrible refs. Like right from the beginning, like everybody's getting hurt, but the second that the Ducks are trying to do something, 2 minutes for blah blah blah, and it's like, where were you for like the five slashes ago? And the oh man, and it's the same ref that comes back too, so you're just like, they still kept you? You're terrible. Sorry, the mistake I made is I wrote that Iceland team all look like Dolph Lundgren because they're all
they look like Swedish killbots.
I was gonna say, this movie is so stereotypical. Like, all the people.
How so?
Trinidad.
So, before that, when the new teams meet each other, right? So everyone's sort of like, there's the, all the different stereotypes. So like the cowboy stereotype.
You got that Latino thug.
The Latino.
No, he's not really the thug.
No, but he's just a speedster.
Speedy Gonzalez on ice.
Yeah.
The Asian that's like the figure skater. Yeah. He learned something very,
You got the guy from Texas, you know, he's a
cowboy. No, I think he's a cowboy, yeah.
At least Tammy's still a cowboy.
No, Tammy and Tommy are gone.
Yeah.
The only ones that return are the black kid who had lines in the first movie, the most lines in the first movie.
And not his brother.
Not his brother.
He replaces his brother.
You mean, no.
This is D2.
D2, yeah. It's not, it's the brother.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because there's the two.
There's two brothers.
There's two brothers.
One of them doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Because remember the beginning, it was like, hey, man, the quack attack's back.
Basically, it's Charlie, it's Connie, it's Connie's boyfriend, who basically gets, like, forgotten throughout most of the movie. It's Averman, it's Goldberg.
Reed.
And then they add in, like,
Averman.
Banks.
I already said Averman.
Averman!
And then they add in Connie. Not Connie, they add in the five others. They add in Kenan Thompson's character.
Averman!
And so I love when they first, like, start, like, getting along. They drive a Zamboni through the wall.
That was so good.
Oh my god.
Right off the bat, I'm like, yeah!
It's just like, oh my god, I can't believe that worked! It's like, hey, coach!
we're good, yes. We're safe.
Destruction of property, good job, guys. Not delinquents.
And then they get to the competition, and mm-hmm. Kenan Thompson is just a freaking heckler.
Yeah.
Just a heckler.
It's like, you guys suck. Team US, boo.
Aren't you from the US? Yeah, I don't give a crap. Boo, freedom of speech.
He's a consummate, like, internet troll before they became a thing.
He's the OG.
And this is great, because when Calypso scores, when Trinidad scores,
there's a steel band, a complete full set steel band is playing.
And everybody's dancing.
Like, in a whole section. Yeah. And it's just so weird.
Just the best part is...
Also stereotypical.
Best part is, like...
No, I'm not stereotypical because they actually got that right. Normally they would get that so wrong.
So you're saying every time Trinidad scores a goal in hockey...
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh gosh, just my way of the man. Oh,
how's Trinidad Tobago Tev seen it, okay, when you have, like, all of Eastern European...
That doesn't make sense.
You have so many countries, okay, that are way better.
Think about it this way. Probably better equipped
to play hockey.
Think about it this way. Canada does not even show up in the movie.
Because if it was factual, they would
Canada.
The answer is that Americans only think very few places. They think of Europe as Europe is one place. Like, all the little things inside it are like, those are cities.
So there's Germany and Russia.
Yeah.
I guess the two people that they fought against.
And they don't want to put it in Russia.
I think Italy was in there also. So I guess Europe was represented with the Cold War and the Axis.
Oh, man. The goalie's just mouthing off the Italians. Like, spaghetti, meatball.
They didn't play against Germany, but they played against Italy, I think.
Yeah, they do. They play against Italy.
They do play against Canada, but you don't see it. It's just
played against Germany, but they played against Italy, not...
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. Also, another point on the Trinidad game is I don't even know how they scored.
Because it's Goldberg and net. Of course they scored.
Hey, you're lucky that they didn't play against Korea, or else we might not have ever seen that.
It would have been like Red Dawn.
You mean North Korea.
So, also nighttime pranks that they pull on the cowboy guy. So much shaving cream. So much.
Like, where did they get this extra money from?
Well, apparently he had enough money to buy a shirt for his mom off of Rodeo Drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, just Rodeo
Where's
Drive.
The rodeo at?
First of it's all, why do the kids have shaving cream?
It's the 90s where everyone has money.
Well, they probably stole it from Reed and the other
bash
brothers.
They're practicing.
Yeah.
It's just to probably do the prank anyway.
And I like how the bash brothers are like, alright, we're gonna go to bed, fine. It kind of keeps going with the shaving cream. They come back and they're just like dancing it out and like not
sleeping. You wanna listen to rock music while we go to sleep?
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a montage where they left the team or something? Or they skipped out on something?
No.
Was it two,
like
two people
curfew?
Out?
No, it's just curfew is for...
Oh, it's three, okay. Excuse me.
What?
No, it's the third movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, this is curfew for... curfews are for suckers, and they just go out on the town and they fail at picking up chicks because, you know, they're 13, but they look like they're older. Italy gets wrecked, as we mentioned.
Why are they playing
hockey? And then after that...
and you know, Team
know
USA is so racist.
I don't
just
know
that.
Either.
Yeah, that's well, they play that. So many cameos.
Oh, yeah.
At the party.
Disney.
Yeah. It's just like...
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, that's later, but...
Christina Yamaguchi.
Guy Laflamme.
Guy Laflamme?
No, sorry.
Guy Lafleur? No.
No, not...
No, like
Guy Laflamme.
No.
Is he talking about the guy from Goon?
No, the other one. No.
Isn't it like Xavier?
Xavier Laflamme.
Xavier Laflamme.
No, but there's another one, but Chris Yamaguchi. Just all
Chris
these...
Chris Kelly. Chaos, Cam Neely.
Oh, look.
Luke Robitaille.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to remember. Luke Robitaille.
Oh, look.
Greg Longus.
Oh, look. It's Wayne Gretzky. He loves USA.
That's later.
He loves USA.
That's later.
He loves USA.
Later.
He does.
He couldn't support Canada, but he loves USA.
Canada, what's that? They don't exist in this
franchise. So, yeah, the kids use the Aaron Spelling's name to get into the fashion shop.
Okay.
Using the whole Bavarian distraction technique. Don't you know who I am? Oh, one thing I want to know, and I wrote this down. This is the movie where I learned the difference between Iceland and Greenland. Where Iceland is green and Greenland is icy.
Why does Iceland have a hockey team?
Why not?
Because they're called Iceland.
They have a
Iceland.
Population of like 100,000 people.
Because this was post-Cold War and they were trying to be nice with...
Yeah, but Iceland had nothing to do with the Cold War.
That's why I say they're trying to be nice to Russia. You don't use a person in a country that you just finished a war
like,
with
like
as your enemy.
War. It's like 4 years later. Come on.
Exactly.
They still should still touch
Yeah, but the movie was filmed 2 years earlier, probably.
Whatever.
Or a year earlier, so they just chose a random country that they knew they could offend without actually caring.
Let's be honest. Iceland was supposed to represent Russia. It felt very Russian.
Well, basically, that was the whole joke, right? But they couldn't use Russia because...
This whole movie was a big repeat of the first one, but like trying to up the stage a bit. Yeah. Thankfully, the
world.
The guy was giving money this time wasn't a complete dick, but he still had his one moment of like, well,
you're here for the money.
If you don't do this, we're all gonna be out of a job. And it's like, but then he's all back and be like, yeah, kids, ducks, quack, quack.
Well, yeah, so that's you're bringing up basically an integral part of the movie, which is the Iceland game, the first time we face off against them.
And they get destroyed.
Yeah, so there's some funny stuff like where Fulton Reed tries to hit slap shot, it gets the guy, goalie catches it, everyone's surprised.
The commentator's like, he's gonna have a puck mark on his right hand for sure.
Yeah.
It was the glove.
I think it was the glove. He opened up the puck in his hand.
Stigmata!
And then, like, Iceland are such dirty players. They slash the arm of a guy and only gets 2 minutes.
Because they're kids.
Apparently. Nowadays, they get, like, expelled from the game.
Yeah, I wish they should.
And after the game, Bombay gives, like, the worst speech ever.
You guys are losers.
Just, like, horrible. And then he makes them go back to practice.
All night long. All night.
So I wrote, it's like, way to forget the lesson you learned in the first movie.
Yeah, he completely, like, goes back to his terrible
Yeah, didn't you see his hair? He went, like,
I know,
evil.
I know. And then Keenan comes back and he's still heckling, like I mentioned. And they go and play hockey, they get back to it. Then the knuckle puck.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. It's basically like the slap shot from the first movie and the way they film it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for
it's
crazy.
Spinning. Except it's not only spinning, it like it has crazy curves and the like loop to loops and like.
And it doesn't hurt if you catch it in your
It doesn't hurt if you catch it. It's just that, you know, it's unpredictable.
Yeah. And I love how they teach Kenny Wu, the smallest guy on the team, how to fight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's a third bass runner.
That was true.
The baby back,
yeah, they
back
teach the little Asian guy how to take other people's clothes off.
Well, yeah, that's
you must
need
have
to
liked
do.
That scene.
And he pulls off the top and just
yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then there's the whole self-realization montage that then Bombay goes through where he's just skating in the park by himself.
Yeah, he does exactly what he did in the
because
first
Jan
one.
Comes and is like, you're being a douchebag.
Yeah. If my brother was here, he would tell you the same thing. Stop being stupid, bro.
But like in the first one, it's like, oh, here's a pair of skates, wear thick socks, just go skate and figure it out. And then in this one, he just does the exact same thing,
except
it's with rollerblades. And I'm like, oh, really?
And then I wrote Creeper Kiss, because after he comes back from that self-realization,
like
he comes and he just kisses the girl on the cheek, the kids.
No,
wait,
no,
they don't really set it up, it's just like out of nowhere.
Maybe it was more like a thanks. Like, thanks.
Yeah, but it was kind of
thanks
creepy.
For not making us lose.
And it was very awkward the way he does it, because he's just like, kiss. Like, he bends in, he pauses for a second, then kisses.
Come on.
He's a lawyer, he expects her to just know what to do.
You know,
was also right before that, he was like, with the little, like, duck call.
It was probably the highlight of her day.
So, we find out that Banks is... That Banks' arm is broken, and that's in a very actually well-acted scene by the kid.
Yeah, because he sees it here. But when he's sitting down, he's like, I can play, coach.
Oh, yeah, I felt so bad. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. The Iceland team comes before the finals, and they're just having fun on the rink before the final.
Yeah, and they're destroying
the
beach ball.
They're like, the poor beach ball. What did it ever do to you?
In Iceland, there is no fun.
And then the coaches have this pointless, like, battle.
Yeah, shoot off.
They just
was
thrown in there for, like,
yeah, but it's
very
just
pointless.
It's just to prove how much of a jerk the Icelandic coach is, because
yeah.
Then he slashes him on the knee.
Yeah.
Because he knows about the injuries, like, tuck it, Bombay.
Oh, shit.
I am the law.
Again, Karate Kid reference. Take the knee, sweep the knee, Johnny.
Yeah, except Bombay didn't have a little toy to swing around.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we get to the match against Iceland. Iceland gets up 4 points ahead.
Call it ahead at that point.
And so the team tries a bunch of things to dismay, like the flying V, which gets wrecked. They clothesline Kenny Wu, I think, at some point, where he tries to split the defense.
Wait, yeah. That was the first time.
They clothesline somebody.
Yeah, well, the first time they played against Iceland, they didn't, like, Kenny didn't manage to do his trick.
Yeah.
But the second time
we'll get to that.
Iceland's like...
So remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was actually my next point, yeah.
Remember that, folks, who said they clothesline somebody, no one goes into the box.
Yeah. And then Kenny Wu does the trick he tried in the first game, and it actually works, where he does an axle, it distracts them, and then he scores. And then the goalie tries to get in his face, he throws his gloves down, and pulls the shirt over his head.
As you're supposed to.
And then he gets put into the penalty box. And then the Bash Brothers come, they start doing some crazy Bash Brother things, and they get thrown in for misconduct.
Oh, and yeah, and they start taking off their shirt and, like, popping up their muscles and stuff, and all the girls are going nuts.
And then they put in Connie, and the Iceland players are being douches, and they're trying to, like basically crush her into the wall. She's about to score.
And so the Texan comes in.
Oh, yeah!
And ropes him.
Connie! Yeah. And he totally comes in.
He gets sent also to the box.
He gets 2 minutes for roping.
Yeah. For roping? Yeah. And at this point, I'm like, so many penalties!
There's four players.
And then then it's the end of the second period. They get a nice heartwarming speech.
They're like, yo, guys, stop being fucking clowns and get your stuff together.
Fighting for your country here.
Here's some New Jerseys.
You call that crime?
And then everyone's quacking, and then we will quack you. And then I'm like, those neon signs changed pretty quickly.
Is this supposed to be like the red, white, and blue, not like purple, green, and white?
And then this is where they start doing crazy things to get goals because, you know, it's still a Disney kids movie.
It's not the goalie, it's actually the black kid.
No, that's the last one. But before that, they do a lob shot. They do a lob shot where they is like, do you think that's gonna work, Charlie? It's like, totally. So they throw a lob shot into the air. It falls right before the goalie.
Any decent player would have taken it on the ice and start
falls in the ice right before the goalie, knocks it in. Luis.
Dump the puck.
Luis skates really fast.
Oh my
stops.
God. I stop, coach.
Snow into the goalie's face. Shoot. Actually, stop. Shoot the puck.
Oh, yeah.
Gets it in. And then they try the knuckle puck the first time earlier. It didn't work. And so they call a timeout, even with the goalie. They basically pull the goalie switch up.
Yeah, that was really fast.
I don't know how they did it without nobody realizing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And they score a tying goal. They go into shootouts. Everyone basically keeps up. And
did you just gloss over the knuckle puck one?
Yeah, no. He does his knuckle puck.
Yeah.
No, the goalie one.
Yeah, I know, but like you didn't say, like it turns out, like they all of a sudden the goalie comes out of the net.
Yeah, that's
it. The helmet, and it turns out
and the
it's
commentators are like, what's going on? The goalie's out of net.
It takes something. And then someone gives him a bear stick, Kenan. And then he does the knuckle puck from where? The blue line of their own blue line? And then
the
goes
thing is, and like it goes all over the place, so the guy can't
stop it. It goes around people's legs, it goes up and down.
Yeah,
it
probably went
right.
around the net 3 times before going in, you know? You don't know.
It pulled the Wayne Gretzky hang out in the office in the back, and then came around.
It probably floated in midair for a bit, you know? They just went again.
They go to shootouts,
So the knuckle puck is pretty much a UFO.
Basically. Shootouts are basically very standard until the last one where the female goalie gets her shot at net.
Finally.
And they're like, he's the best scorer in this tournament. And he's like, you're mine, little girl, kind of comments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Iceland looks like it's a bunch of 20-year-olds playing against a bunch of kids. They're like twice their size.
We've never seen like, well, that was the whole...
It's because of those volcanoes up there, man.
Well, I think that's like one of the thing with Miracle was like, it's like a bunch of older like Russian men, like USSR guys versus like kids from like college, basically. And they managed to like overcome and beat them kind of thing.
Mm.
So I think they're kind of playing off on that. Like, so like if you're an older person watching this, you're like, oh yeah, I remember the miracle of blah, blah, blah.
It's possible.
You know what I mean? Like kind of like a symmetry kind of thing going on.
They win.
Yay.
Because she stops the goal. She basically figures out his move pattern.
Well, no, like Coco Bay tells her exactly what to do.
It's like, if he does this, he's going to do that. And it's like, what if he does that?
No, he's a showboat. He likes to show off. He's going to do like this.
Yeah.
Okay coach.
And like, remember, and she catches it, but you don't know if she saves it because she gets up.
Yeah.
And she left, right? right, left, opens up her hand, and then throws the fuck up. And you're like, oh my god.
Well, the thing is, the ref would have known, the line refs would have known.
Yeah, yeah.
The camera would have shown it up.
Yeah, yeah, but they had to build
it
up.
Yeah.
Movie.
They had to build it up.
They win, they're the champions.
And the Iceland player's like, we have to go and say thank that they played a good game. Forget the coach, he's an ass. Goes and thanks everyone.
And it's a nice little credit sequence where they're all singing, we are the champions, behind a campfire to the end of the movie. And so
Goldberg burns his marshmallow.
Yeah. So my thought on this movie, money corrupts. And that's basically what this movie is trying to tell you. Any thoughts on the movie? Other thoughts on the movies?
It's literally it's exactly the same thing as the last movie. They downplay the evilness of the evil side of things from the first movie a little less. They up the stage a lot more, so instead of having the Duxworth being like a complete douche, you only have the guy who's slightly a douche a bit, but then he gets back to being like okay. But the movie plays itself very similar to the first one, except the stage is grander and they have a few more like tricks up their sleeves, but that's about it.
I disagree with you on the point that they tone down the evil. I think they actually camp it up and make it more obvious.
I mean, I'm talking about specifically, like, if you compare Duxworth versus the...
Oh, that guy wasn't really evil.
Yeah,
he was just a business guy.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, it's literally, you've got one guy who's like, you should learn a lesson. Never mind, I'm gonna fire you. While the other guy is just like, we kind of have to keep our jobs.
Yeah, no...
Yeah, but no, that guy, okay, like, even Jans, like, says it, like, the reason he chose you is because they said how much of a great person you were and how you love the sport. So the guy, okay, he got maybe a bit corrupted because of the money, but, you know, at the end, he realized, oh, okay, whatever. So, like, that part, no, but talking about evil, I'm sorry, but the Iceland coach...
Oh, no, the Iceland coach!
Iceland coach is pure evil! Yeah. Okay.
Any thoughts?
D2.
No. No thoughts, Keith? Okay. Seb?
I like turtles.
I remember watching D2 a lot more than D1, and sadly, some parts don't hold up as much, but it's still, like, a good nostalgia trip.
It's a good time capsule for that time period.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And it's no D1.
It's no D1, but I still like it.
Yeah.
It still has a whole... And just the fact that, like when you get a little bit older and get into hockey, and you're like, wow, they just kind of gloss over Canada. Trinidad there for no reason.
10th seed in the world.
10th
seed. Come on.
I feel so proud, but it's just like, no,
that's not true.
Like, Trinidad, like, I've been to Trinidad before, they're like, how's the snow up there? Oh, you know, it's cold. I don't want to deal with that. Like, how do you change...
What is ice?
Like, no, they know what ice is, but it's just like, wait, so you're putting knives...
Yeah, you put it in your drinks.
Yeah, exactly. You're putting knives on your feet to skate on it, and then you're taking a stick to hit a hard piece of plastic into a net at somebody else? That makes no sense.
Wait, there's enough ice to make a rink? I thought it was...
Wait, how cold is that, actually? How cold is that? It's relatively cold. No, I don't want to deal with that.
You have to wear a sweater.
Like, that is a whole, like, cultural shift you have to do to make this work. Like, they would spend money elsewhere than an actual hockey team.
Well, Kevin stole the points I was gonna make, so...
Oh. Good work, Kevin.
But in all honesty, it's a fun movie. It's very campy, it's very 90s, like, very 90s. The montages are a lot more, how I put it, elaborate, but still feel very believable to some extent. The kids feel very believable, though overall it's just a fun movie, and I don't watch it expecting a masterpiece, but I enjoyed it very much. So
I do like how they introduce all the kids, like they reintroduce the old kids, the new kids, and it's like, this is their superpower.
And they all have their different strengths, but they're not invincible. So,
and I remember the girl was from Maine. That's what I remember specifically.
Yeah, well,
her.
She basically says, I came all the way from Maine to show the world what I could do. Don't make me be a putz or something like that.
Okay.
She doesn't say that, but she's
thanks for letting me play a second, coach.
Yeah. Well, she did basically get what she wants to show what the world what she could do, and she basically she had the most important save.
Yeah.
Ratings.
I'm gonna steal this from Wendell because I know he wants to say it, but I would say 6 out of 10 knuckle pucks.
I would say 4.5 uncalled slashes out of 7.
Out of 7?
Jesus.
7? What the?
You're weird. I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10 steel pans playing for a victory goal.
Said that other thing.
What's your rating?
Just give a rating.
I don't know. I would say 1.75 out of 3
creepy kisses.
1.75 creepy kisses. Unexpected creepy kisses on the cheeks.
With the linger. The lingering can be good.
The little linger is like, make it just a bit more awkward.
Douche chills.
All right. And I'll give it 3.5 We Will Clack Yous out of 5. Awesome. Okay, and so now we'll get to D3.
1.75 out of 3.
So D3.
Was it movie? Don't see it. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We're going through this.
The kids get a scholarship for being to
the best.
This,
the best in the world.
Yeah. So they get a scholarship to this preppy, competitive
sports school.
High school.
It's a college, no?
It's a college.
Yeah.
Well, they're not.
Say he's 14 in this one.
Well, the thing is, you can have a private college, but it's not actually a college.
I'm pretty sure it's a high school. They're going to college.
I'm pretty sure it's a high school.
It's high school.
It's just like, you know, it's like saying a collège de Montréal, like a...
Oh, like academy kind of thing?
Yeah, like it's an academy.
It's Eton Hall Academy. I thought it was colleges at first, but
it's not a university.
When he says, my name is Charlie, I'm 14, when he's flirting with the girl, I'm pretty sure they're at
high school. No. Yeah, that's it.
It's just a private high school.
That's it.
Or they all got scholarships because they were stars.
Basically.
Oh, okay.
3 degrees.
So they all get scholarships.
You get your hockey degree.
A few of the kids from the second movie show up first because they're from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the gang skates together montage. Not montage, but sequence where Goldberg gets separated and does all these wacky things. And then they show up to the assembly, ruining it and looking like fools. Now you get to meet the douchebag bullies of this one, the varsity team.
Right.
Who I think they're holier than thou in this school, because the guy's father is one of the main donors to the school.
Mm-hmm.
They find out that Bombay isn't going to be their coach anymore, so Charlie takes this pretty hard.
But why?
Because he was attached to the guy, as we found out in the first movie.
No, why isn't Coach Bombay?
Oh, sorry.
Hard to get him and his mom together. Yeah. Of course, that's why.
Because Bombay gets offered.
Bombay, why don't you want to be my daddy?
Because he got offered the ability to determine recruitment over the world for the Goodwill Games. I think.
No, you became a coach for Team USA at Goodwill.
No, it was because it was something like world level, like at the world level for the Goodwill.
Something
Games.
Executive, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So,
do you think Coach Bombay is the reason why it went under like 10 years later?
years now.
Even though Emilio Estevez has top billing in this, it's clear that he didn't want to be in this movie because he barely appears in this movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies where, So they meet their new coach, and he's very strict and kind of mean, as you notice. You also find out that Mendoza is a real big perv.
Mendoza!
What, because he's Hispanic?
No, at what point he's underneath the
table? No, because he's looking up women's skirts.
What, because he's Hispanic? El Cholo?
He's literally hitting on everyone, and then at one point he's just crawling underneath the table and he's looking at all underneath the skirts, and he's just
like he's never been around women before.
So a bunch of, I guess, antics happen with the bullies. They try to bully them. The team tries to get back at them. They play their first game. It ends in a tie.
Whoa. To be more specific, they go up to 9 points, and then they screw it up in the third period where the other team gets 9 points. That's horrible.
And then the bullies put their clothes in. There's some more bully antics where the bullies get them back.
Right.
They get stiff for a dinner, then they get them back by putting fire ants in their dorm room.
Well, this stiff for the dinner thing is like, it's a tradition that goes into pro hockey, where like, whenever you have the new people on the squad, the whole team goes out for a big dinner. And then, like, the older members of the squad say, like, oh, we're going to go pay for dinner, and kind of cut out. And then they stiff the bill with the younger guys, the new guys, basically.
Yeah.
Some hazing.
It's a little bit of hazing, but they were also being
illegal.
So Charlie starts rebelling against the coach because he wants to have fun, but the coach is trying to teach him
how to play actual hockey.
Because they try the flying V, it gets crushed.
Again, like, horribly.
Like, pretty bad. So Charlie basically quits the team for a bit. He's being all rebellious. He skips school. Coach Bombay comes back and he's like, here's the Coach O'Ryan, the new coach's backstory.
Don't
feel as bad. And that's obviously when the other coach turns around as a character to some extent as well, also.
Yeah,
even though he hasn't really anything
to
do
with it. He couldn't continue playing because he had to stay for his paraplegic daughter.
Yeah. So then there's some, what is it? it. So Bombay gives that whole speech with Charlie afterwards. Mm-hmm. They go play some street hockey. Everything's good again.
Hockey always makes it better.
Then they find out that, so Charlie comes back asking to be on the team. Then they find out that their scholarships are going to get revoked because...
They suck.
Reasons.
Because of that one game that they did bad at. So then there's this boardroom scene where Bombay comes and saves the day. Because
he's a lawyer.
Using his lawyer skills. Then there's a training montage because they have to play against varsity and they have to like amp their game. Then there's more Charlie macking on some girl. Wow, I got really bored at some point. I stopped taking notes about how this movie went. So they play the game and it's pretty much a 0-0 game.
It's such a boring game because there's nothing that's happening.
It's like there's back and forth.
Oh my god, they're playing hockey. What a shot.
They're playing hockey with the new NHL rules. Oh, this is a shambles.
They play like they do some crazy final like move where Charlie finally learns to trust people and they score a point and win the game. And the stakes have never been lower.
But I love like how, like what the coach teaches these kids. All right, you're gonna learn this new thing called the defense. It's like they haven't they didn't know about that before. Holy crap!
No, guys, today you're gonna play with the D.
you never seen the movie Rocky where they're fighting? There's no defense. It's just straight up punch.
Yo,
punch,
kids,
punch.
Today, you're gonna play with my D.
The next tactic to train the kids is like, all right, I've thrown garbage on the ground, pick it up. And so like their whole tactic for like one of the
kids,
you're
gonna get used to the D.
It's just picking up trash off the ground. I'm like, what does this have to do with hockey?
So this movie, it starts with we've come such a long way montage that goes on forever. For the credits, it's just so long.
Remember all these other movies? You're gonna watch them again right now.
I didn't even need to watch the first two movies to know what happened. So Bombay is off to do hockey everywhere. Charlie can't accept it. He really can't let go. He needs to learn to let it go.
He needs a dad.
Pre Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. The mom's back in this movie as well.
Oh wow.
But no mention of the father at all.
The divorce.
And it's nice how everyone's going to school together again.
Yeah. Just makes it easier, that's all.
They finally replaced Goldberg as the goalie.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes way more sense because the other girl whose name I still don't remember.
Why don't you Google it?
You can Google it.
Well, I don't care.
Okay.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, she's actually a good character.
What I say is she wasn't very developed in the first one. That's the thing.
They made her out to be such a great goalie and then it's like, we're not going to use her.
Very underused.
It's because the comedy comes from Goldberg, that's why.
So it went all the way to like this movie for her to be the actual legit goalie.
Yeah, because Goldberg's gold.
And he's better as the defense.
He's Goldberg, Jerry, gold.
I can defend? But I like how it's still only one defenseman. Like, where's the other one?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the other one's attacking.
Julie, I think her name? Julie the cat.
Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, Julie the cat.
It is
Gaffney.
Julie.
Yeah, Gaffney. Yeah. Julie Gaffney.
The cat.
So there's more rollerblading sequences where they're getting the gang back together to go to the school. You find out how dumb the high school bullies are. Yeah, we're the varsity team. My little brother got kicked off the junior varsity team for you guys.
Hey, you little jocks. We're the big jocks. Yeah. Whatever, man.
Seriously, that was the weirdest part, too.
It felt like Revenge of the Nerds, but like all jocks.
One thing I liked was that when they were going to go face them the second time, and they're like all down in the dumps, they're like, oh man, like our main goon guy can't handle these guys anymore.
By himself.
And then like the other brash brother comes in. He's like, hey guys, what's up? I was in Chicago and I found this this paper lying around. It turns out I can go to the school now. Thanks to Gordon Bombay. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we got our enforcer back.
Yes, that whole scene was amazing.
I like that scene
a lot. Up until the point where they don't use him at all.
They did. And
he gets into the penalty box.
They used him a little bit. Like they were like knocking out some of the other players. And
well, that's the whole point of a goon.
Yeah. You're supposed to rough up the other team members to rile up your team to get back
into
it.
But he's literally in for like a minute and then he's in the penalty box. The other guy's in the penalty box.
All it takes is a minute to switch the momentum of the game.
And then you have the little basher that's in as well and it's like, okay, there's nobody playing.
And doesn't Goldberg join the Bash Brothers for a bit?
No.
Or he helps them up or they help him up or something.
No, he tries to, the three Bash Brothers, but it's like one of the, like a kid calling from the back that he's the tough guy, but he's in the back.
Oh, okay.
So back to that rollerblading sequence, which is this extended sequence. Like, a lot of these sequences are really long, too. Goldberg gets separated because he still has trouble skating. Goes down some stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up down an alley where a dog tries to bite at a towel or a sheet that's on his head. He gets caught up in a hose that goes for a pretty long while before it unspins him. Charlie jumps over a car.
Because
90s extreme.
Like John McEnroe on Wooden Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
He jumps over the car.
And these jocks also, apparently being state champions
at 20 years old,
or are somehow being better than national champs.
Mm.
Like, these guys won at the world level, but these guys are state champions.
Well, they're older.
Yeah.
More skilled.
So
more
like,
versed in the art of hockey.
Also, that school was so boring.
Yeah. That was one thing that confused me, is that just Goldberg did not know how to skate.
It's, yeah, like after
that,
two movies.
That's confused the... Like,
let's say it's Reed learn how to skate within like 5 seconds in the movie. Just saying, Goldberg,
but
worse than Reed.
Yeah, and like, they teach Reed, they teach the Spanish, the Miami player how to stop, they do all that with everybody.
And Goldberg,
they actually
like,
really
and
didn't
they,
teach
and,
him how
and
to
Goldberg
stop.
Is just like,
they just
whatever. Overlooked
Goldberg not being able
probably
to skate.
Probably is Cheeto, just like, whatever, man.
The Miami guy still has trouble stopping.
He still stops.
And then there's this, like, the announcer kid. I'm like, is that a young Ryan Gosling?
Is it?
I don't know. I couldn't find out.
Oh.
It looks so much like him, but I can't find any info on that. So, man.
Well, if you check his IMDb, it's probably...
I checked the movie. I checked the full cast list.
Maybe it wasn't him.
No, but that kid looks like a really young Ryan Gosling.
It could possibly...
No, it's not.
Well, Ryan Gosling is in Goosebumps.
So. He was a Disney kid. He was in the Mickey Mouse Club in the early 90s. But no, he would have been too old.
It's weird. Mendoza. When I say Mendoza is a perv, it's for when he gets rejected by the cheerleading girl, and she's like, oh, my boyfriend over there, and he goes under the table, and he's just looking under the girl's skirts as he passed by, and then it's implied that one girl wasn't wearing underwear.
Oh.
And then he looks at the camera, and he smiles.
He breaks the fourth wall.
He's just a huge perv.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why. He literally did something super pervy.
He's like, I'm gonna go underneath and peek at her.
Also,
like,
Goldberg...
Wait, like a voyeur?
You have the varsity team. You have the varsity team at that point too, also like stealing lunches from kids.
Oh, yeah, because they're bullies.
Yeah, so the gang ends up pulling the same stunt they did from the first movie where they're trying to like find poop and put it in a bag. So they're like, oh no, but these are the brownies that my mother made. And the guy's just...
I think it was Benjamin Salisbury, the announcer kid.
Okay, well, he looks like a young
from
Ryan
Gosling. From the nanny.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, he looks like a young Ryan Gosling in certain camera shots. Also, Goldberg becomes such a douche.
Oh, absolutely.
In this movie, because he's trying to fatten up the Jenny
because
he's mad that he lost his spot as a goalie, even though he didn't practice to keep it or anything.
Yeah,
like
he didn't
that.
Do anything.
And Averman's like, why don't you just try to, instead of you trying to lose weight, why don't you just try to fatten her up? So she does that, and she basically just starts eating food without like any care, and then she throws up before they get to their next practice.
Oh my goodness.
Also, she develops a bit of a bulimia.
The dark side of the movie.
Oh, gosh. And then
it's a real problem, though.
It is. Maybe it was a statement.
Banks gets... So at some after the first practice, Banks gets moved up to varsity. So I feel bad for him because
when you're good, you're good.
Because basically he's good because he's good. He's being alienated from his friends again, and they're basically treating him like the old team kind of treated him.
Right.
So once a duck, never a duck.
And then that game where they basically blew a 9-point lead was just ridiculous.
The 9 points is the ridiculous part.
Yeah.
Is that they were up 9 points and then they let the team score 9 points in one period.
But then again, older NHL rules, it wasn't a higher scoring game. They're trying to do it now.
It's higher scoring now.
Yeah.
Also, Kenny.
It used to be higher scoring way back.
But like not that far back. Not 90s.
Kenny
sucks at trash talking. the kids.
Oh, they
sucks at trash talking. That's pretty fun. And then the pranks that they pull. Like, so the bullies throw their clothes in the showers, and so they decide to get them back by using liquid nitrogen in the locker room. Liquid nitrogen.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Okay, so So yeah, if you go to preppy high school, you know, you look at nitrogen's like around the corner and barrels, and you're like, oh, look, what I found, liquid nitrogen. Let's play with this.
You guys didn't have liquid nitrogen in your high school?
I guess.
No, we didn't. We were poor high school.
No, like, we didn't go to my
awesome school.
We used it for many of this is a huge barrel. It's not a small barrel. It's like a huge barrel with like a whole pressurized system and everything. That's not cheap.
I had liquid nitrogen.
To my knowledge, no. To my knowledge.
No, my school's too cheap for that. They get stiff for dinner, so they have to pay it off by cleaning the entire restaurant and doing the dishes and all that. But they retaliate by using fire ants, by locking up all their dorm rooms with a rope. I was thinking these are very
basic.
No, what was that movie again?
Ski Patrol.
No, the first one that does
Home
that.
Alone. Home Alone.
That was very Home Alone of the way they did it. Gosh, so silly. Ants.
Ants everywhere.
This is how you get ants.
Oh, but you had the cowboy guy keeping a lookout, and he ropes one of them.
He hog ties them, basically.
So bad.
That's always so worth it. Just to have a cowboy guy to hog tie somebody.
So then we get up to the coach's backstory part, where you just basically, in a few sentences, get told why the coach is...
Why you
should feel bad for him. Why he's not such a bad guy as he seems. Which, also, it feels like at some point, like, that coach should have been involved more in that sequence because his attitude kind of changes right away.
Yeah.
It could have also
something, maybe.
So...
maybe Bombay has talked with him inside.
And this also brings up another point that I don't know what happened to Charlie, because in the first two movies, as clingy as he is, he was, like, one of the more rational kids for, like, those two movies.
Puberty.
I know, but but it feels like they're overcompensated completely.
Yeah.
Like, completely in the other direction.
He was super angry that his mother didn't wait for Coach Bombay.
Yeah. She could have waited a year and get that B dick.
Hey, Mom, if you slept with him, maybe we've still been our coach.
Coach Bombay could have cracked all over her.
Also, Coach Bombay is kind of creepy when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that way he wakes up Charlie when he's about to go get the coach's backstory.
In his ears?
He's just like, no, he sets an alarm, and then he's just sitting on his bed waiting for him to wake up.
But that's what Charlie wanted all this time. That's what a real dad would do.
Coach Bombay didn't give his mom the D.
I like the mother allowed this too.
He was conflicted. Maybe I should give the D to Charlie, but no.
I like how either the mother allowed him in, or he still had a key to the place and just kind of got
in. I'm pretty sure the mother let him in.
Because that would have been even creepier.
I'm sure he peeped through the window.
Anyway. Creeps through the window, ties up the mom, goes on Charlie's bed and waits.
The dark side of
that's
Disney
why he disappears
movies.
Right after.
Also,
hey, Charlie, I thought you said the ducks together.
Yeah, it's about this point where I start getting really bored of the
together?
Movie. It's at this point I start getting really bored of the movie because even the movie's not trying anymore. They have this boardroom scene where the kids are going to lose their scholarships, and it feels so pointless.
It's not pointless. It's the movie progress.
This is not even. It doesn't even make the movie progress. It actually does nothing to the plot.
Andrew, this is what kids care about. Boardroom meetings, trade blocks.
Legal jargon here. Where, like, they would take away scholarships and stuff. Like, that's a legit threat in the private area schools.
No, I get
especially
that.
I'm a kid. I don't give a shit.
No, especially for these downtrodden kids, you know, this might be the best education they're ever gonna get.
No, I get that part of it, but it seems very contrived. It comes out of nowhere.
Okay. The Social Network had actually really funny, entertaining boardroom scenes. This movie did not. I'm not saying it should be The Social Network, but Come on. We're in a room where everyone's statically sitting down. High school. It's high school.
Yeah, but also...
It's high school. It's a college.
Okay, so I haven't seen The Social Network, but
I mean, this is high school. Mm-hmm. Social Network was college. University.
Yeah, but still. It was
anyway, because you guys are just going off this really long tangent. Basically, in The Social Network, I would figure that the boardroom scenes actually advanced the plot to some extent, or at least character development.
This did nothing!
It did not advance the characters in any way, shape, or form.
It made Coach Bombay.
It's like, it just felt like they had contractually obligated to put Emilio Estevez was just doing a scene that he needed to, just to like get it out of the way. And so they just put that scene in there so he could come in for however time he could. Like, they got him for like 2 days or 3 days, and he's like, that's all I'm gonna do. And that was it. So I feel like, it feels like that. Like, yes, it's mentioned at first that it's there as a publicity stunt, but it feels like they tied that one game, and then before they even play their second game, it's like, yeah, we're already gonna rule on whether or not you can keep your scholarship. championships. And it's obvious that the
well, how bad did they lose the first game?
They lost a 9-point lead and they ended in a tie.
Well, there you
there's
go.
You know,
if you have a 9-point lead and you like mess up that bad, you're like
they didn't lose, they tied.
Well, come on.
If Montreal lost a 9-point lead and just got a tie, do you think the city would take that?
That's it. Why would someone okay?
But nonetheless, they played a kind of hashed up match that was just an aggressive match. Against the varsity team.
Sorry.
That's it. Two matches.
I would make it more like this. It would be like if Quebec Nordique came back for one game, said, we're replacing the Montreal Canadiens. They lost a 9-0 lead. Everyone would be like, get out, Nordique.
Well, that's it.
Canadiens
look,
back.
Why should the school be paying for these kids' education and they're going to blow it? Like
it was
like,
based off of one game.
It's to show that there are consequences for not
the thing is, you can't
win
on one game.
There are consequences
but
if you're not
nine,
winning, Andrew.
If you lose your
if you just want to participate
lead,
and
okay,
have
too many
fun,
people are talking at the same time.
If you lose your 9-point lead, okay, you have to be thinking.
Okay, so I'm
going to
put it this way.
Especially in one period.
I'm
going to
put it this way. If you want to make that a threat for the movie, you have, and you've done many montages, because they pretty much cut out most of the montages that they had in the earlier, like they did in the earlier movies. You montage them tying or losing several games, which you could easily do. They lost their homecoming or the first game of the year, and all of a sudden, not even right away, this is like weeks later, all of a sudden it's an issue and their scholarships are getting revoked. If they wanted to bring that up as a more relevant scene to the movie, you show a montage
you
of them not doing well.
You
know, I agree.
Bad editing, maybe they edited it out.
For
they
a movie
it.
About hockey, I only count two mad games?
That was what I was going to bring
two
up
and
also.
Half. Two and a half? Two
this
games?
After this pointless scene, my next comment is there's so little hockey in this movie at this point. It feels like there's none.
It's about the Ducks. Nobody cares about hockey.
But it feels like they didn't actually, it's like whoever directed this or whoever wrote this movie did not see the first two movies.
Maybe that's
or what forgot
that
this whole thing
maybe
was based
that's
off of.
Maybe was like, I want $1 million per line.
And forgot what made these first two movies so much fun.
Because whenever you have a sports movie, it's always supposed to be about the sport. You're supposed to show a good chunk and promote the sport.
What about Field of Dreams?
Yeah, but it's baseball. Nothing happened. So baseball is like cricket, but shorter.
And after that, they give them a training montage so that they can get better in time in 1 week to beat varsity.
Yeah.
So.
Just pick up the trash.
Like, which is it's just the weird. It's just like, okay, these kids are the sophomores and they're facing against varsity.
Yeah,
it's just like that doesn't usually happen.
And if
well,
they don't
if they
win, set up early on that this is a thing that happens at least
in this one school.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, fine.
They set it up as just a game between the different teams to.
And now we don't
so,
want
you know,
to
some
here.
Friendly competition
because it is a competitive school. So
yeah.
They just do that to motivate both. Teams.
So you have the first match, which they tied from 9-9. Then you've got the second leg. Fake match against varsity due to like all the
that was just them letting off
the yeah
oh yeah
it ends up just
match.
Being like a big fight thing yeah friendly it
well,
just ends up being a big fight and then you get the final match
where they win
no goals
yeah but okay
throughout
so
the
I'll
whole
put it this
thing
way. In the boardroom scene it's heavily implied that the only reason why they're even up for nomination losing their scholarship is because the rich kids want them out
well
because
they pay for school
and it's just implied a bit because the guys said my dad is rich blah 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 but it just like oh by the way Charlie's angst plot and then oh by the way Charlie's fixes his angst plot
mm-hmm.
part and then it's all of a sudden oh yeah by the way scholarships are gone because we need a reason for you guys to like get motivated for some reason and even then it doesn't feel like that was a very good motivator
well, you know, that bourgeoisie gets what you want
and then they have the match like I said it's like we mentioned before it's a very boring match it's a 0-0 match but it feels like nothing happens
mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that the random brash bro comes back
yeah
half of them end up in the penalty box
again
and Charlie learns to pass the puck.
It wasn't Charlie's first thing that he always choked and missed. Then the second one's like, oh, I'm not that great.
And then
the third one's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll pass the puck one day.
So yeah, no, in this one he's trying to showboat too much and when he could have scored, he didn't because he didn't pass the puck. But now he basically passes the puck and Goldberg gets a goal.
Oh, wow. Even that goal.
So
like,
Goldberg gets the goal.
even that was done very poorly because it's like, it almost felt like it took 5 minutes for him to be like, huh? like, he hits it in.
Yeah. Well, he is a goalie.
So Goldberg.
No, he's
the
defenseman by that time.
Primate.
I like how the Bash brother, who comes in out of the blue, ends up being like the least used. I, like, it would have been great if he at least had done something a little bit more, but not immediately.
Well, he was
thrown in.
I remember he wasn't a scorer; he was just an enforcer guy.
Yeah.
But then, but they're all surprised that they're like, "Wait, Goldberg got the goal."
Oh yeah!
Oh my god! And it's like, yeah, I'm surprised too, because that was the only goal that sort of like went through the actual match of this whole thing. Thanks.
Yeah, it was the one goal. It was a 0-0 match, and then one goal. So at least they tried that to make that hockey game a bit different, but it didn't work. But even then, that also felt like basically
because it felt too much like hockey.
So I'm gonna, like I mentioned before, this movie is trying to be more mature than, but it's a Mighty Ducks movie. It's trying to be angsty, but it's a Mighty Ducks movie. There should be
it's a teenage company.
Someone becomes a douchebag for a little bit, he realizes his mistake because someone gives him a heartwarming speech, and then everything gets better, and then they play a match, they lose a bit, and then they do some really crazy tricks, they tie, and then they win. I get they didn't want to do the whole shootout thing again, but this movie is just like, the angst is not believable, the douchebag turn feels so forced, the heartwarming speech is so contrived. It feels like I mentioned, the person who wrote this movie completely took out everything that made those first two that Mighty Ducks movies good and just
shat on
the third, like the movie is just like, why? And I was prepared to go into it like remembering it not so fondly, but it's the one I remember the least. But
because you've seen it the least
anyway. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
The person who plays like the main villain kid is the same person who's the doctor in Firefly. I found that kind of funny, seeing him like being kind of like the jerk. Like I mentioned before,
he's a bit of a jerk as a doctor also.
It reminded me a lot of Revenge of the Nerds, but like both jocks, like they're all jocks. That's really weird. All the coaches just seem to not be able to coach the new or old ones. Like it seems like they fail to like communicate to the kids properly.
Well, that's anyone talking to teenagers.
No, but like even Andrew May pointed that out. Like in the first part of it, the new coach is just like being mean for the sake of being mean, or just like not properly conveying what he needs to convey. And then all of a sudden, after like montages and like all this stuff, it's like, oh, now we're gonna tell you
After Charlie sees him with his daughter, oh, okay, I'm gonna be nice to Charlie now.
And he doesn't even realize it too. That's the funny part.
And this was like we didn't bring it up, but this ends up sort of being like a big focal point in the movie, is that this whole all the matches, all two and a half of them, this is for Hans, because you know that guy from the first movie that wasn't in the second movie. Yeah, he's important. In the third movie, he dies halfway through the movie.
Right.
And it's
and
spoiler.
Died.
Okay, it's spoiler. A spoiler, but if you haven't seen the movie by this point,
we're always telling you, don't see the movie. So it doesn't matter.
So Hans dies, but does Jan come in to say,
nope.
No, not at all.
Jan's not even gonna go to the funeral.
Someone has to take care of their mom, man. Even though she's 108 years old.
Yeah, mom is like 158. You know, Hans dies at like the age old, like age, like 98.
No, Hans realized that he didn't even want to deal with Charlie's bullshit in this movie.
He's like, oh, Charlie, you're bullshit.
I'm out!
I'm
out!
So
you're breaking my heart.
Yeah. It's so bad too, because like the scene that they show that part, he's always like doing jokes. So like, oh look, I hurt myself. Oh no, catch up. Blah blah. And then like this, he plays it off again, and it's just like this is not funny. This is not good for like a movie like this. This is supposed to be a Disney movie. Ugh. No, not as
no. But honestly, at this point, this is when Disney was starting to do its really bad. It was going through a weird phase.
Country Bears phase.
No, I don't think it was before that, but it's like around the time when they started releasing all those sequel movies.
Aladdin 2, Return of Jafar.
Those were it's around that time.
The
so
ones I didn't mind.
You can see that this is where they're starting to like hit that phase.
And the freaking black
Aladdin
uniforms again.
Days.
But the freaking black uniforms again. Like, I wish it could. Think of, like, I don't care if it's a darker color, but just don't use black again for the third movie in a row.
Like
for the
dark base. That's how you know.
In this time, it makes sense because
the ducks always have to
they
wear
they technically
white.
Have to wear the same color.
Yeah.
Because they go to the same school, but they're using the alternate colors. It's really stupid. It's just color coding that they do to
they
make sure they
black
know who's evil.
Black.
Yeah, I know why, but it's just like, I wish they would just pick other colors.
That's at least the one thing that they kept that I didn't mind. Any other thoughts?
No, That's all
I haven't seen it.
I kind of felt bad that like only Keenan was like the only black kid to come back. Like one of like the one black kid that was from the first, second movies.
I heard that was a drug related issue, but that's why he didn't go.
Oh, that stinks.
No, I'm just making it up. You believed it because he's black. You're racist and a bigot.
No, I'm not. Probably because the guy was like either doing something else or what have you, but like it's just like only that one guy came back. What about the guy that's been with them forever? Like, I don't understand.
That might have just been contracts. He might have asked for too much money. They said, no.
We've got another black guy. We don't need you.
Remember
now.
How many lines you had in the second movie? Here's how many you're gonna have this time.
I just remember Fox Kids like promoting the heck out of this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they probably were. Like, we need to recoup our money. Oh, man. But I remember seeing it and I was like really disappointed as a kid.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, man. I was expecting like something fun, but it just seemed to drag for a long, long while.
Yeah. This movie.
See how sad we sound?
I give it one paraplegic daughter out of five.
Oh my god.
I guess
already in the rating.
Do our ratings. There's nothing else much to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, honestly, I really, oh my god. I honestly have nothing left to say on this other than to give the ratings.
2 out of 5. 40%. Fire ants filled with, clothing filled with fire ants. 2. It's a, okay. It's a movie. But
I raised that mine. From what I remember watching it way back, not great. So one paraplegic daughter out of five.
Keith?
98 minutes of sleeping out of 104 minutes.
That's a pretty high rating.
No, I was asleep for that long with the movie.
One of the main scenes is them picking up trash. There's just too much trash in this movie. Just 1 out of 5. There's no funny rating to pull with it. It was just a bad movie.
He could have got 1 out of 5. The school has liquid nitrogen?
Yeah, liquid nitrogen.
Or, for me, I feel like, for me, this is like them trying to skip romance. Script, sorry.
Like, leave it out?
Yeah, sorry. No. For me, this is a movie where they try to insert a lot of romance into it. So Charlie tries to get a girlfriend. The
hormones.
Mendo. Tries to get a girlfriend
by looking up skirts,
things like that. So Charlie tries to get a romance, but Charlie just gets too angsty in this movie.
Like a teenager. Oh my god!
While they're losing, no one gets girlfriends. Girls only like winners. That's the theme of this movie.
Okay, if you want to take it that way, this movie doesn't even have a theme. It's so bland. It's so all over the place. It doesn't have an actual good focus on the team.
So I guess I'm the only winner in a room.
So, in all honesty, it's.
Yeah, but you're in Mighty Ducks.
It was
3.
Okay.
I don't know how much of a win that is.
Okay, so it's a bad Mighty Ducks movie, but it's not a bad movie. It's not something I would say is a bad movie per se. Huh?
It's I would like, say it's a bad movie.
It's like a poor. It's like a poor version of
it's
like
a
an
poor
American
man's MVP.
It's like a poor like American Pie esque Disney movie. It's so bad.
Yeah, but it's. I think like as a movie, and I'm pretty sure it came. Did it go to theaters?
Yeah, it totally did.
Oh god,
it totally did.
At least if you went to. To DVD, I could like forgive it.
No, they knew they could make money.
That as a Mighty Ducks movie, it's like one pointless boardroom scene out of 5.
It's not so Mighty Duck movie.
As an actual movie, it's very middle of the road. So I'm giving it 2.5. I guess that backstory fixes everything.
Wouldn't hate a man that had a daughter.
Exactly.
So in 2014, they said they were in talks. Of maybe making a D4. What would you tell those people after?
Honestly, I'd rather see a reboot of the movie than a continuation of that story.
All the same actors.
I'd be a little bit interested in seeing a continuation of that story.
It'd just be their kids.
Yeah,
they mentioned 2 different plot twists that they could go for, and one of them was like they're at a bar, Bombay is dead, and they reminisce.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow. Disney would not do that.
Well, I guess after the whole like.
Let me just say, Bombay's career just failure after failure, loses his job as a lawyer.
Actually, that was just a quick scene I forgot to bring up.
And then
gets out of minors because he gets injured. Third,
okay,
you
stop
know,
talking.
His good. The Goodwill game, and 10 years later, and he's supposed to be high up, so he brought it down. What'd you say?
So then the second option was they take 2 of the actors, make them older, played by like Jim Belushi and somebody, and they're both coaches, and they meet another time, but they're both their teams going against each other.
It's Banks versus Charlie.
And they're both...
And those are both horrible
two different
ideas.
States?
Yeah, well, I haven't heard anything since the rumors came out. Yeah. So it's like, obviously...
I heard 8 years ago that they were remaking Police Academy.
But there was already like 12 of them.
Seven, but yeah.
Okay, here's the movie. Really here's the movie plot for D4. Charlie and Banks, separate states. They each have a Ducks team. They meet at the finals of like the USA finals. Ducks versus Ducks.
No, they meet at Goodwill Games.
Okay, we can sit down.
We can start to play games.
The only thing that I thought was pretty cool was when Kenan Thompson started being on SNL and they're like ended one of their seasons during Christmas or like after Christmas, and like I remember like they're like, oh, you know, we're at Rockefeller Center and we want to wish you all a happy new year, blah, 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 and they start skating and I see like Kenan Thompson like skating super fast around the rink and I'm like, wait, why does a guy from Atlanta know how to skate? And I was like, right, he was in D2 and D3 and then he like retained all of his skating skills from it. It was crazy.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is actually a good scene in the movie that I'll give it this one credit is that after Charlie and Fulton have already like quit the club because they're very different, they're sitting at like a stairwell and he's talking about how Fulton's saying it's like
I don't mean very good.
No, actually he's saying it's like this is actually a good opportunity and he's like, but what about hockey? And it's like, maybe I don't want to play hockey for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a very good scene and it's like I think the only like one of the very few good scenes that actually feels well acted, actually heartwarming, and actually does advance the characters as characters. And I'll give it that.
I remember that scene because they were like skipping school or
basically
something, and they were like they were going around to like Bare Naked Ladies song "This Is Me" in grade 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it's so 90s.
So I'll give it that. Overall, you should definitely see the first two because
first
I think
one.
No, actually I think two is
the first two are good.
I like I meant like Kevin has mentioned, it's
nostalgia.
D2 is what you want out of a good sequel from a movie. You want it to feel the same like the first movie, but doing either amping up the stakes or doing something different with the material.
So Hobbit would be a bad sequel because the third one sucks.
Well, the Hobbits are just a prequel.
Hey, you like that now.
Anyway, but you know what I mean? And I think D2 does that.
Yeah.
And it feels like it, like I said, those first two movies feel like they're from the same universe. This one feels like it's like completely different. Emilio Estevez doesn't want to be in it, you can tell. Hans dies so he can get out of the whole franchise of this boy.
Pretty much.
The mom is just like, you know, calling
here. She probably needed work because on the second movie she was back to the diner.
Yeah. Charlie is just a total douchebag for like 80% of this movie. And
like most teenagers.
And a lot of these, like, turnarounds are forced and contrived. But otherwise, yeah, I still think you should watch the first two movies.
Yeah.
The third one.
You can definitely skip the third one.
Take it or leave it. It's your choice if you just want to be a completionist.
If I had four hands, I'd give that movie.
So,
of course, I'm down.
So, obviously, we've gone on for a while, so we're not going to do Goon. We'll save that for another time. It's going to be for an interesting discussion, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Because Goon was great.
Maybe around playoff season, we might do another movie thing.
Totally.
Or maybe next year. We'll see.
I give Goon 5 Goons out of 5.
So join us in our next segment where we'll be giving you our info.
I want to talk about D3.
This is Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic, and you are listening to Geeking Out at the Tower Podcast.
And that was episode 10 of Geeking Out at the Tower Podcast. In today's episode, we discussed the Mighty Ducks trilogy and did not have time to discuss Goon.
Which was the superior movie.
And we also got sidetracked a whole bunch.
Thanks, Kevin.
Which is fun. You're funny.
Some of us fell asleep.
Yeah.
That's what D3 does to you.
So as you...
I told you, 98 minutes of napping out of 104.
Awesome. We would like to hear from you, so different ways you can reach us is you can send us an email at GOATTcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @GOATTcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can leave us comment, message. We say nice things. We are nice people.
Not really.
I lie. Lying so hard right now.
We're horrible people.
We're not the best. But we like to hear from you anyway, so leave us some comments, some likes, you know. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/GOATTcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Geeking Out at the Tower Podcast. So you can find us on the website where we have lots of cool things you can check out.
That's not true. I haven't updated anything in a while.
Do your job.
I'll get to it.
So you can find that at GOATTcast.wordpress.com. I was your host, Andrew, and today I was joined by
Kevin,
the amazing Keith,
Seb,
Wendell,
Sleepy Ali.
Thanks for listening and have a good time.
Quack.
Bye, everybody.
Quack, 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 quack.